Blog Talk Radio.
And tingly when I hear that Age of Aquarius, because I know we're all in the Age of Aquarius, and I have the perfect people to take you right through that Age of Aquarius, and I'll introduce them in just a few minutes. But I, Bonnie, with Bonnie Albers on air, and I am just so happy to present my Wednesday co-host, both Ron Cole, who is a famous, world-renowned astrologer, who is just so fascinating, and Kelly Coulter, who's the other part. It's Atlantean life birth card reader, which all fits in with astrology. So I want to say hello to my co-host. Hi, everyone.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
I'm so happy to have you here, and I got to tell you, I know Kelly's just chuckling with laughter, and Ron is just feeling warm and fuzzy, because not only are we going to talk about the moon today, but the moon is both Ron and my sign. That is the ruler of our house or planet or star sign or something like that, right, Ron?
Yes, it's the ruler of the sign of Cancer, which is where we both share something in common. We share the same birth, different years, but we share the astrological sun sign of Cancer together.
I love that. And let me introduce you and tell everybody where to get a hold of both you and Kelly. Kelly has a show coming on. She's always with me. She's my co-host, as well as Ron. Kelly starts her Atlantean card reading at 2 o'clock. Anybody waiting that wants to hear, great, but Kelly will start taking readings at 2 o'clock. I am Bonnie Albers. You can follow me on Facebook. I'm Bonnie Mosenter Albers. Just like me, or I think you even just send me a friend request and you'll get all of our shows. You'll be able to get in contact with me if there's anything you'd like to tell me. Also, you can find me on bealbers714@aol.com. Send me a little note, email. I love hearing all your comments. And also, I do have a web page. It's BonnieAlbers.com, which I do sometimes see, but you're better off getting a hold of me on Facebook or my email. Also, you can please, please send me a note on Blog Talk Radio. You can leave me a message. Kelly, who's been keeping up with my messages, right, Kelly? She is going to be able to tell me. She's going to be able to tell me what you said. Yeah, she's going to be able to tell us or answer your questions. We appreciate anything and everybody and all the comments that you have. We love our listeners. We love our chatters. We love our callers. And we love everybody. Now I'm going to get to our show. Ron Cole, you can reach him at livingastro@aol.com, right, Ron?
Yes, that's it.
And you can drop him a note. He's also on Facebook. I know that he would rather you get a hold of him on livingastro.com. He does readings. He does your chart. His chart is your reading. And he is phenomenal. I mean, if you think he does really well on radio, wait till you get your own private reading. It is amazing. It is so in-depth and long. He does give you a lot with that. And I'll let him tell you about that. Either he can tell you right now, but let me go and talk about Kelly. Kelly, also, you can get readings from Kelly. She would prefer you to call her, I think, on her phone. Kelly, you want to give them the information that they need to get a hold of you at?
Mine is at 719-289-4907, or the best email for me right now is slc.on.btr@gmail.com. And Bonnie, let me ask you real quick. Yours was B. Albers. Is that AOL.com? I was going to make sure I got that right before I post. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Sorry. Yes. You know, I get so excited and talking to everybody, and I'm just so excited to talk about the moon and everything happening right now, because I think Ron told me we're getting ready to move into the spring or
a new sign.
Something like that. Yeah. So, Ron, I'm handing the microphone over to you. I know you wanted to talk about the moon, my favorite. Go ahead. You got the
Thank
floor,
you, Bonnie.
Ron.
One more comment. My email is livingastro@aol.com. Now, let's go on about the spring change. There are four signs of the zodiac that are classified as cardinal signs. And cardinal means, literally translated, dynamic and important. And whenever the sun enters one of those four signs, there's a season change. Well, those four signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra. I knew you were going to say yay. Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. Now, tomorrow we're going to see an example of this. And we're recording this one day before spring starts. On March 20th, 2014, at 12:58 p.m. for Eastern Daylight Time, so you could adjust it for any time zone you're in, but it's 12:58 Eastern Time, the sun will enter Aries. And that is the beginning of spring. You will see news reporters. Often it's, believe it or not, people who do the weather that will tell you, saying the sun, I mean, they won't say it this way. They'll say spring will start tomorrow at 12:58 p.m. But actually what's happening, it's an astrological axiom the sun enters that sign, and spring starts. That's for the northern hemisphere, and those of you in the southern hemisphere, it's ready for you to start celebrating autumn, because that's when the autumn season will start, at that same moment of time. Now, in the summertime, when we get to June 21st, one day either side of that, plus or minus a day, the sun will enter Cancer, and that's when the summer starts in the northern hemisphere. And 6 months from now, when we get to the period around the September 21st, plus or minus a day, the sun will enter Libra, and that's when autumn starts in the northern hemisphere. And then finally, just before Christmas, when we're at the December 21st date, and it could be December 20th or the 22nd, that's why I say plus or minus a day, because it could vary from some years, that's when winter will start. So anytime the sun enters one of these four signs, there's a seasonal change.
Well,
and
you know what, Ron?
That's why these signs have gotten an energy of being important and dynamic. What were you going to say, Bonnie?
I know that when they, I feel like the cardinal signs, and I love the cardinal bird because I have cardinals that eat all the time right off my porch. So I know I'm a cardinal sign. I think that's so cool. I feel bad for other signs because I think the cardinal signs are the starters. But guess what? They aren't the finishers, are they? Because I think the finishers, which are the ones that really follow through, aren't your cardinal signs. Am I right?
Well, right after cardinal, there are signs called fixed signs, and there are four of those also. That means they don't start or don't finish a season, but they are right in the middle. So we've got those with Taurus and Leo and Scorpio and Aquarius. And then we finally have what are called the mutable signs, and those are the last sign or the last month of a season. So they're, in a way, ending that season. And that will start with Gemini and Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. And the sun, even at the time we're doing this recording, is in Pisces. But on the 20th of March, it won't be after 12:58 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And so,
well, I know Aries. I mean, that's what you're going to talk about. But I just have to tell you, Aries is a cool sign. It works two ways from what I hear, Ron. It can be starters and just full steam ahead. And then the other half of it, because everything has a good and a different angle, would be that you are, it's more like you get angry. And am I correct or am I off base on the Aries? I love Aries. My son is an Aries rising. He's an Aries moon, I think. So I know what Aries does. But I think this is so cool because I love Aries.
Well, Aries, as you're right, it's ruled by the planet Mars, which in mythology was the god of war. And there is that belligerent, bellicose, two rams butting heads and nature type of thing. That side could be in Aries. And then there's that beginning, starting, dynamic, thrusting ahead. Now, today and now, the moon is in Scorpio. And it will be in Scorpio even when the new season starts. So it's sun stays in a sign for 30 days, but the moon will move through a sign in 2.5 days. It's the fastest transitor in the sky. And I thought we could talk about the moon today because there's so much about this. The moon is connected to the feminine energy. It's connected to the goddess energy. It's connected to the sacred feminine. It's connected to the feminine power of creation, which we have been kept ignorant of for centuries. We've only been emphasizing the male power of creation. We have been kept ignorant that there's an equal balance with the female power of creation, and the moon is the representor of that. She's a very feminine vibration. She always reflects the tides and the tidal energy on the earth. And she's a reflector. She reflects the light of the sun back to us. But the moon is fascinating because it is related to fertility. And some cultures have considered the moon a fertility goddess energy. And there's a lot to say about that because the moon is very prominent in charts of newly married people in the woman or wife's energy side. In other words, it's the energy that connects to fertility and pregnancy, the entire length of carrying the child, and then the birthing process is all connected to the moon.
Wow.
Now, there's some things that I have to share with everyone that's just mind-blowing, and that is in Czechoslovakia, back then when it was Czechoslovakia, in 1968, there was some research with the moon and the sun, and they were looking to see, and these were scientists, not astrologers, what could be determined with pregnancy cycles with women that have been deemed not able to conceive a child. They've tried every other method, and they went to look at the astrological placement of the moon because they heard of the moon and its connection to fertility. Well, what they discovered was quite fascinating. It was discovered that when the sun and moon are the same distance apart in degrees and minutes in the sky, then at that point is the highest period of conceiving or conceiving ability for a woman. And in other words, even women that were not able to conceive children, when it was determined that the sun and moon would be the same exact distance apart in the sky as it was when they were born, they took that same distance in their birth chart, and they figured when it would occur in the day-to-day passing of time, when the sun and moon would be that same distance apart, and women were able to conceive children. In fact, this can be read in the book Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain, and that's when we
wow.
had an Iron Curtain, and that's when we had a Czechoslovakia. But it was discovered there, and it was proven to be so effective that even today there are computer programmers that have sun and moon conception patterns. In other words, they set up the woman's chart based on her correct city, date, and time of birth. They find how many degrees and minutes the sun and moon are distant from each other, and they calculate when that will reoccur in the sky, and that's the point or time of greatest fertility for her.
That's
now,
so interesting.
Well, this even gets more wild.
Amazing.
When we are born, we have something called the ascendant or rising sign. That's the point coming up over the eastern horizon at the time of our birth. And it's very quick moving. It generally stays about 2 hours from beginning to end. And there are 12 signs. There's 24 hours in a day. And each sign from its start through its completion rises in about 2 hours. Well, what is fascinating is, and this is much more difficult research, to find out the exact moment of conception, but when research was done for the conception and exact fertility of the egg, wherever the moon was at in the sky at that time, that will end up being the ascendant or rising sign when the child is born. And there are a lot of skeptics in astrology that will say, oh, you know, the mother's carrying this child, and then she has the child when Sagittarius is rising, and that tends to give a very tall, tall person. Or she has the child when Virgo is rising, and that can contribute more to petiteness. How is that possible when that's just a moment of the child's birth, and it has nothing to do with her carrying the child during the whole 9 months of the pregnancy? Well, actually, they're wrong. It does, because wherever the moon is, in what astrology sign, even to some extent the exact degree of that astrology sign, when fertility occurred, that will be the rising sign of that child, and many times it will be the exact point that it was when fertility occurred. So,
that is
for example,
so interesting.
Today the moon's in
really
Scorpio.
Cool.
So if someone today conceives a child, they will give birth to that child when Scorpio is rising, because that means the sign coming over the eastern horizon. Now, this also flies in the face of we have no control over birth. The baby has control over the birth, and I've said that in past shows. In other words, we think we can go ahead and micromanage birthing by going ahead and having cesarean birth, or going ahead and having the doctor can only do it at a certain time, and they're going to induce birth process.
Right.
But actually, the child has that as a pre-planned energy, And the moment that child takes that first breath, sometimes it could be a really long labor and the child's not born. Sometimes it could occur so fast, so quickly that it's almost shocking that the child's almost instantly born. Well, why this all happens, this differentness in timing, is because the child is going to have that chart for their whole life. This is a moment of passing time in the years of our life when the child is being born. It is important, of course, but it is the whole child's life chart. And the child will be the determining factor of the birthing, even though we think we can do the cesareans and the micromanaging. And why another factor is the moon is going to be connected to whatever sign is rising at the time that child is born based on where the moon was when that child was conceived.
Well, do you know what, Ron? Here, I've got to say this because this is too cool, and I've always said this, but I was in labor almost 10 days. I know the next girl who's getting her chart done understands this. And I waited till, I always said, Lauren waited till Scorpio came because she was born at 5-something in the morning, and it had just changed at 12. So I always said that for some reason Lauren came in as a Scorpio for a reason, but, man, she waited because 10 days I was in labor. So that kind of proves what you're saying.
Wow.
Well, yes, but we're also talking about what her ascendant was, which would be Libra. So that means that the moment she was conceived, the moon was in Libra, and that became her rising sign. And what you say is important, too. The sun entered Scorpio, and she became a Scorpio sun sign. And, of course, there are very different things. The sun takes 30 days to go through a sign of the zodiac, moving 1 degree a day. And the moon takes 2.5 days, moving about 12 or a little over 12 degrees a day. So it's 12 times, sometimes 13 times faster moving than the sun. Well, the moon has always been connected to feminine energy. Even in primitive cultures that have not had interconnection with the outside world or other cultures, when they were discovered, so to speak, and people were sent into the culture to learn about them, inevitably they saw the moon as feminine. It's a universal thing to represent that energy in the sky as feminine. She is a mothering energy, and the moon also represents our own mother and our mother's side of the family. So wherever the moon is in the birth chart, you can see a certain amount of set characteristics about the person's mother, characteristics about people on the mother's side of the family, and a certain lineage and inheritance of things that run in that family. And so
that,
it is very interesting.
Wow.
I did a reading recently, and the person had the moon in Libra. And I mentioned, well, that's the sign ruled by Venus and considered one of the most beautiful signs of the zodiac, maybe singularly the most beautiful. And I can tell you right now, your mother was quite beautiful, and there were so many good-looking people on her side of the family. One of her issues, though, was she took a long time to make up her mind. She weighed and balanced everything to try to be fair. Well, those traits exactly fit her, but she wasn't born under the sign of Libra. And that was also traits that ran in her family. Even to the point of health conditions, the moon in Libra rules the kidneys, and kidney problems, kidney stones, kidney disease was kind of a common thing. Not everyone had it, but a common thing that occurred in the mother's people.
That's so interesting, Ron, because I've got to tell you, and you know everything's back to me. I always say I'm Aries in the first. Of course, you know I'm not, but what I was going to tell you is that Lauren is a Libra rising, so would that make all the sense? Well, all the women in her family, on her mother's side, were beautiful. I'm her mother. Think about that.
Wow.
Now we need to look at her moon, though, see what it tells.
I'm just joshing everybody. I love Libra. My daughter is a Libra rising. Susan, our other co-host, is a Libra. for some reason I'm surrounded by Libras, and I really probably feel that it's because I never weigh in balance. I just go straight forward, and everybody that is with me weighs and balances. But anyway, I love so much astrology. I learned so much, Ron. I'm going to tell you that our girls here, that our next chart, Marianne, but if you are still wanting to talk about the moon, I mean, you could probably talk for a month about the moon, but do you want to break here?
I could.
Or did you want to say, you want to break here?
Well,
or do you want to say
one more comment?
Okay.
Bonnie, you referred a few moments ago earlier in our day today about one of your children having the moon in Aries, and I believe it was your son. That's very interesting because you refer to yourself as having Aries rising or having Aries in the first house, and you see your son's moon in Aries reflects his mother, which is you. So even though you're not in Aries, his moon says, my mother's going to have Aries-like traits. See?
That is so cool, Ron. I mean, that is,
now,
I didn't even know that. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, then the next point is people say to me, but I have four children, and they all have different moons in different signs. So how is that possible? And then I point out the fact that each of those four children have a distinctly separate relationship with the mother. They each kind of see the mother in a slightly different way, or the mother's attitude towards each of them will be unique unto them. And that also is the moon's interconnection with the child-mother relationship.
Love that. He fascinating. That, you know what? You're getting like me, Kelly. When Ron first was on, all I said was wow, wow, wow.
I know.
In fact,
wow.
Wow. I counted 13 times in less than 2 or 3 minutes, and I said, if I say wow one more time, I am going to hit myself, and I'm not a violent person. But that's you're starting to sound like I did when I first put Ron on. So, Ron,
oh.
We are just in awe of you. Can I bring our caller in? Because I know she's really excited about her reading, her astrology reading.
Certainly.
Okay, I want to say... hi, Marianne.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you? This is Ron. Ron, this is Marianne and Kelly. So I'd like you to say hello to Marianne.
Hello.
She is our caller.
Hi, Marianne.
Hello, everybody.
I promise you, Marianne, I won't reveal your birth city, your location, date, time, any of that. That will always be kept private. Have you ever had an astrology chart reading in your life ever?
No, I have not.
Okay.
But I read my horoscope every day.
I've gotten your birth information from city, date, and time, and I've got the full chart. One thing I would recommend, and people are going to kind of get a little gruff at this sometimes, is there's more to your chart than just your sun sign, and those daily columns always connect to the sun and its position. And so they forget the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and what's rising and what the house cusps are. And now we've got all of that together for you. Now,
yay!
You've got the sun in Libra, which would be birth almost, you know, sometime in the period of just over 6 months from now when we're going to be in the opposite sign. The sun will be going into Aries tomorrow and spending about 30 days going through that sign, and Libra and Aries sit opposite each other in the zodiac. So it'll be about almost 6 months plus to your birthday. Your moon was in Capricorn at the time of birth. I'll go through all your planets just to give you an overview. This may not make sense right now, but at least I'll tell you where they are. Mercury is in Scorpio at the time of birth. Venus is in Scorpio, so now you have two things in that sign. Mars is in Capricorn, same as the moon, two things there. Jupiter, the biggest planet, is in Cancer. Saturn, the Lord of the Rings, the one with the rings, is in Scorpio, so now you have three things in Scorpio.
Wow.
Mercury, Venus, and Saturn. Uranus is in Cancer, just like Jupiter. So those two planets sit right exactly next to each other in the same degree of the zodiac. The planet Neptune is in Libra, same as your sun, And then Pluto, which is a viable part of astrology, it is a planetary body, even if it's small. And we're going to know a lot more about Pluto this year because we have a probe going to Pluto that's set to arrive in July that we'll be able to see post up pictures and that of it. Your Pluto's
Ron?
In Leo. You're going to hear some birds in the background, so excuse that, everyone, because I've got some parakeets, and they just suddenly get excited when I say Pluto, see?
I would too.
Ron, can I ask
Bonnie?
A question? I know that her birthday is in August. Is that a sun sign? Yeah, that's her.
Sun
she's
sign.
A Leo, isn't she? Isn't she a Leo?
Well, not what I got. I got October. Maybe we got the wrong chart.
Yeah.
Oh, it is Leo. Please excuse me. I'm so sorry. I looked down and your sun is in Leo. First time I did that. Your Neptune is in Libra. So please excuse me for that.
Okay.
Yes. In other words, your Pluto is in Leo and your sun is in Leo, but I made the symbol of the Leo for the sun kind of scribbly, and I looked down, and as I was talking about it aloud here, I thought it was Libra. No, it's Leo. So take that back. Everything else is correct, and the sun's in Leo, just like Pluto. All right, now, when you were born, the sign of Pisces was rising. Now, in the northern hemisphere, that's the shortest ascendant of all. That sign will rise from beginning to end sometimes in 45 minutes. And the longest ascendant per day is Virgo. That sometimes takes 3 hours. Now, if we reverse things and we went to the southern hemisphere, Pisces would be the longest ascendant of all. It would take 3 hours, and Virgo would be the shortest. So there's something unique about your chart, Marianne, and that is you were born with the shortest descendant of each day rising at the time of your birth. But that also tells us what I was saying earlier. When conception occurred for you, the moon was in Pisces, and that meant that you were going to inevitably be born with Pisces rising. Now, Pisces rising is a very, very psychic, intuitive, sensitive and mystical energy. It is a sign that is very connected to picking up on vibrations of places, people, and things. It's a sign that can sense things. It can sense things about people, like meeting someone for the first time. There's pretty much a strong impression as to whether you like them or not like them, or a place you go to, whether you like to stay there or not. Let me get out of here, or gee, it feels good. There's a sense of reaction in impressions and feelings. Now, you are a Leo, and that is a strong sign. It is not a weak sign. It is a sign that does connote a certain amount of leadership and dynamicness. However, Marianne, you've got the moon, the one we've been talking about, in your career house. And by having the moon in your career house, you've got a very good potential in your chart to, number one, work with anything connected to the family, anything connected to the home, land, property, or real estate, anything connected to food, anything connected to females or working with females. The moon is one of the feminine energies in the chart, and it's kind of interesting. We've talked about that today, and here the moon is the highest thing in your chart. It's way up there near the upper part and the highest part of the circle of the wheel, and it is in the area called the career house. And the various areas I mentioned are areas connected to the moon. Along with what we discussed about fertility and all of that, and the moon can be a sign of a person who is a midwife or assisting people in pregnancy, it also indicates food because the moon is very connected to how we nourish ourselves, the nutrition we give to the body, the food and liquid that we nourish ourselves with. In other words, our self-mothering, the mothering that we do unto ourselves to keep ourselves alive and the food and nutrition we provide into our body. So it is connected to restaurants. It is connected to food places. It is connected to food sources. It is connected to places that manufacture or distribute food. The moon is also connected, like I said, to the home. It is connected not only to real estate and land, but to the energies of the home itself. What's going on in the home, what kind of energies are happening in the home. So the moon can also be very much connected to counseling with people in the home and home situations, and the moon can be very connected with working with family ties, family lineage, family descriptions. In other words, counseling members in the family for various reasons. And the moon deals with feminine vibration, very much so. And having the moon in your career house, you could work in a job or career that has more women working in it than men, or you can work more with women than men. Now, the moon's in Capricorn. That's a particularly industrious moon. That is not a weak moon. That's not a moon that just takes it and goofs off. It's a moon that applies themselves. Anytime you see something in Capricorn in a person's chart, you see the concept of industriousness. You see the concept of hard work. You see the concept of not being afraid to take time to get ahead, to apply oneself and work long hours and long periods. And you have two things in Capricorn. You have the moon there, and in the house next door, not in the career house, you have Mars in Capricorn. And Mars in Capricorn also means a lot of energy, which Mars is the planet of energy, applied towards work and industriousness. Now, let's go kind of around this chart. Not only do you have that mystical, sensitive to vibrations, even spiritual and metaphysical sign of Pisces rising, but you also have Jupiter and Uranus in Cancer. And they're exactly aligned with each other. Now, this was a phenomena of the year that you were born. See, I said I'm not going to mention your birth date.
That's okay.
The year that you were born, virtually everybody that year, from beginning to end, had Jupiter and Uranus sitting next to each other, near each other, or right on each other. And you were born with them being right on each other. Your Jupiter is 27 degrees of Cancer, and your Uranus is 27 degrees of Cancer.
Wow. Now,
that means that those two planets are literally lined up one on top of the other. So if we had a telescope looking out to outer space, and on the day that you were born, an astronomer were aiming it at the planet Jupiter, in that same field of vision of that telescope, they would be able to see in the distance behind it, further away, certainly there's a long distance between Jupiter and Uranus, but they'd be able to see both the planet Jupiter and the planet Uranus at the time of your birth in the same field of vision in a telescope. We call this a conjunction, and a conjunction literally means alignment, two planets next to or aligned with each other. Now, this is quite fascinating because this is a very powerful aspect for astrological energy and for New Age energy, because Uranus is the ruler of the sign of Aquarius. It is the ruler of the New Age. And Jupiter is the planet of abundance and giving and giving and giving more and unlimitedness. In other words, in a person's birth chart, wherever Jupiter falls, there's the concept or principle of unlimitedness, thinking big, thinking in large terms, applying in a major unlimited way in that part of the chart. And it is lined up with the planet that rules Aquarius and the age of Aquarius and the age that we have just very, very recently come into now. Now, what does that mean in English? It means that you were born with unlimited expansionary empowerment, Jupiter, to open up your consciousness and develop it very fully and further in this life, your first incarnating life in the sign of Aquarius. And by the way, everyone who's listening, this is your first lifetime in the sign of Aquarius. We are all sharing that. That age just very recently started, and this is everybody's first incarnation. The only way that would be an exception is if you were born as a baby, died suddenly as a baby, and were reincarnated very quickly. Then you would be in your second life. But this is an age that will last 2,160 years. And so we are just at the dawning, beginning cusp of this age. And so for you, Marianne, to be born with Jupiter conjunct Uranus, it means you're entering this age in a big way. You're entering this age with being taking some very strong steps ahead of other people in going into understanding what this age means. So you will be able to have awareness, talent, meditative and spiritual energies that could sometimes be moving very quickly and expanding very quickly in this life. And that's good not to be afraid of that, because Jupiter gives things that are positive for us and things that are protective. Now, you've got them both in the sign of Cancer. And Cancer is one of the three water signs, the others being Scorpio and Pisces. And these three signs deal with emotions and feelings. And your chart's highly impressed with water signs. You've got Pisces rising, which is a water sign, number one, Jupiter in Cancer, number two, Uranus in Cancer, number three, Mercury in Scorpio, number four, Saturn in Scorpio, number five, and Venus in Scorpio, number six. Six planets in water signs. That's way above average. The average human being in the world has two or three. And that's average, and you've got six, so you have twice to three times the amount of the average person. And that means even though you are a Leo, you've come into this lifetime to work with your emotions, your feelings, your compassion, your empathy, and carrying that to the next notch, your sensitivity, your impressions as far as picking up energy, psychic ability, hunches, gut-level feelings. See, water signs deal with two things that people should remember. They are the signs of emotions and feelings, but they are also the signs of extrasensory feelings, the signs of and hunches, premonitions, metaphysical fascination, and instinct. Now, it can go in more than one way. Some people with a lot of water signs are born with a profound natural psychic talent. Others who have the same placements in their chart or similar will be born with a profound curiosity to want to learn and understand and pick up and learn what these metaphysical sciences are or what this intuitive energy is. Now, I always tell my clients that when I see this many planets in water signs, if it is the profound curiosity, you are quite capable in this lifetime to go beyond the curiosity into the actual ability to feel intuitively, sense intuitively, pick up on energies intuitively and spiritually, and show, not just make it up, but show true psychic capacity and ability. It could be in astrology. It could be in something like psychometry, where you pick an object that someone gives you and you get impressions from it and doing a reading. It could be just in closing your eyes without anything in your hand and concentrating and picking up on impressions. You're very good with energy. You're very good with receiving energy. So I would think closing your eyes and picking up impressions about something, you can be quite profound about that. Now, the other thing is, and I apologize about that Leo Libra thing, but I wrote down the Leo sign with the little loop going over it so much that it looked like a Libra sign, so I apologize. But you do have Neptune in Libra, and you're not going to lose that one, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So you've got the Sun and Pluto both in Leo. Now, that's very interesting because Leo is very much a sign of leadership, and it is ruled by the Sun. And that means that the Sun is at its strongest and most powerful when it's placed in Leo. We have a term for that in astrology. We call it dignified. That means a planet in its own sign. And since Leo is ruled by the Sun, all Leo people have one notch for them, and that is having the Sun in the sign that they have it dignified in or strong. Now, this is quite interesting because Leo's a fire sign, and it works quite differently than all those water signs I was telling you about. So many times you'll see the characteristics of Leo as having dynamic charisma, walking into a room and shine, and everyone turns and notices them. Sometimes they could have a loud voice. Sometimes they could dress dramatically. Sometimes they just hold positions of power, and they're able to administer power. Well, all of that is capable for Leo people, no matter what level to extent they want to develop it or use it. But you've got a chart that's much more taking the Leo energy and being melded or influenced by the water sign energy. You must never forget that your chart is way more empowered with water signs than it is with the fire signs of Leo. You have only two things in fire signs, and that's the Sun in Leo and Pluto in Leo. And it's interesting because two or three is average. And you have two in Earth signs by having the Moon in Capricorn and Mars in Capricorn. But you've got six things in water signs. So while you can look and stack up against other Leos of the world, you will see that you are by far a more feeling, compassion-orientated person, a more empathetic type, a more psychic and intuitive, spiritually inclined type than most Leos would be. Now, I almost made you a Libra, and that was probably kind of astrological Freudian energy, but you do have Neptune in Libra, and Libra is the sign of always trying to be fair and balance everything out and not making a rushed, quick, fast decision and not being hurried to take and weigh and balance all factors before a decision is made, and then finally and fairly it is concluded upon. Now, that's not unusual to have Neptune in Libra. Everyone from 1943 to 1957 had Neptune in Libra. That's because it takes that long of a time to go through one sign of the zodiac. So to say a person has Neptune in Libra, well, you're going to be with a whole group of people of 14 years who have that planet in that same sign. Those are the people that became the flower children. Those are the people that became peace at all costs. Those are the people that said war, not, excuse me, peace, not
peace,
war.
Peace, not war.
and these were the people that created the energy of love above everything else, the love generation. Well, that's because Libra is ruled by Venus and is very much connected to the energy of love. From 1957 to like 1971, it was in Scorpio. And then for the 14 years after that, it was in Sagittarius. So Neptune is a long transiter. It takes like 268 years, I think, to go around the sun. It's so long. But to have Neptune in Libra, we all have it born in that one particular generationary period. What that means is we kind of share as a group mass energy karma for all people born with Neptune in Libra. We share that with our fellow incarnates born between 1943 and 1957. When a planet is long lasting like that, we share it together. Now, the same thing with Pluto, the other thing you have in Leo. Pluto was in Leo from like 1937 to 1957. So that's even longer yet. That's a 20-year period.
Right.
And so you were born with that group in which Pluto was being shared, connected with each other. Now let's go into what I said earlier about the moon can talk about your mother and the sun can talk about your father. Your Capricorn moon tells me that a lot of members of your mother's family were very, very practical people. Many of them were serious, and many of them may have lived to be long-lived. There could be a long-lived energy on your mother's side of the family. Many of the people focused on work. Work was so much a part of their consciousness that it may have been the number one thing that they thought about day and night. Many members of your mother's side of the family could have had problems with their knees, their knee joints, their bone joints in general, but the knee particularly, and could have had issues with the teeth. Capricorn is connected with the bones, the skeletal system of the body, and the teeth, gums. It's also connected to the gallbladder and skin and hair. So this also could have made your mother and other members of her family serious at times, disciplining, strict. Sometimes there's an element of the old-fashioned that carries forth when the moon's in Capricorn. The mother and the family keep old-fashioned values there. I'm sorry about these birds. I'll put them in another room next time.
Oh, I love those birds.
They are beautiful. And I've got them a long distance from where I am, but they're just talking to each other. So Capricorn gives an industrious kind of old-fashioned practicality that is lineaged down the line from the mother's side. Now, the Leo sun is a fire sign, and that's going to indicate your father and his side of the people. Father's side of the family could have people that were more temperamental, that were more fiery, that were more robust, and they could be people that rose to positions of leadership but were always changing to other levels. They reached a point and they didn't stay there. They grew further. They grew further. They went to a higher position. The sign of Leo is associated with the heart and the heart action in the body, and it's associated with the spine, the vertebrae of the back. And so with Leo, the father and father's people could have had a lot of energy issues with the back, the spine, discs, etc., heart attacks, heart issues, heart pumping, etc., heart irregularities. But Leo is a sign that takes charge. It runs things. Interestingly enough, we've had a number of Leo presidents, and they've often been considered very popular presidents because they often were seen as very strong figures. And Leo can be very strong when it runs a business, when it runs a corporation, when it's a CEO, because it has a sense of knowing how to manifest control. And I don't mean control like a dictator. I mean control like manifesting what to do at the right time, who to place in the right position, decisions that involve control. But it's also one of the single most good-hearted signs of the zodiac. Yes, that's where we get the term good-hearted with Leo. Leo rules the heart, but it's also a sign of high generosity, great sense of humor. It can be one of the most funniest comical signs ever.
That's
many
me.
Many great comedians, Lucille Ball, many others born under Leo. And when you see this, there could have been members of your father's side of the family that were very funny, very comical, that were quick with wit, very enjoyable. They could get mad. They could tell someone off. They could have a temper. But a little while afterwards, everything was fine. Everything went on. But that sense of humor and that sense of comicalness was there. Your mother's people were more serious types, more kind of practical old-fashioned. Yet you've got that moon in your 10th house, which means you can take old established traditional ways of doing something and bring them up to the modern world, bring them up to the reformative times of now with that moon there. You nourish and to some extent nurture and nourish some of the people that you work with. By having the moon in your career house, there's a subtle motheringness about you and the job that you're in, great loyalty, and to and or the people you could work with. Now, you yourself have Mars in Capricorn, and then you've got those Scorpio planets. And very interesting, wherever I see Mars in a chart, wherever I see Saturn, those tend to be the areas where a person could sometimes have sensitivity in their body. So not only the moon in Capricorn, but for yourself having Mars in Capricorn, you have to be careful of your knees so you don't drop something on your knee, bang your knee, have a knee swollen meniscus area or movability with the knee. You always have to kind of baby the knees in your life. Not that you're going to have problems, but that is a sensitive area. The other
Ron,
thing is,
Ron,
yes.
Ron, can I just mention something so specific? I had my MLS operated on about 2 years ago, which is your ligament in your knee. So that
How
is spot on.
Okay. Well, the other area would be Scorpio, and Scorpio rules the bladder, the urinary tract, and the colon, the large intestine. And sometimes with Saturn in Scorpio, that rules that area. All the year that you were born, not only was that Jupiter and Uranus alignment going on, But everyone that year had Saturn in Scorpio. And guess what? It's in Scorpio right now. And it entered Scorpio on the 6th of October, 2012. So it's about a year and a half now. And it's going to leave Scorpio on Christmas Eve of this year, 2014. So it will be in Scorpio 2 years and 2 months. Well, that is not an easy transit for you because you were born with Saturn in Scorpio and you had what is called a Saturn return. And a Saturn return is meaning Saturn in the sky comes over the same place it was at when you were born. And that can produce not necessarily the sweetest or easiest of energies to deal with. Your Saturn return actually occurred on December the 16th, 2012. But that was the first one. You had two others afterwards because of Saturn retrograding. So that was not an easy time necessarily for you. And even with Saturn in Scorpio, that's not an easy energy. I know Scorpio people kind of are hearing this and they might be pulling their hair or somebody say, oh, well, then that's what's going wrong. Because I've had so many Scorpio people come to me for astrological readings since Saturn entered Scorpio. The last year and a half, there's been more challenges in their life. Now, Saturn is the planet of working off karma. It is the planet that represents strength through strife, and it's kind of like the planet that means you're going to learn whether you want to or not, and you're going to balance off and work off and complete and release karma, whether you want to or not. So Saturn is not a planet that gives you choices. It's a planet that demands. And when it goes through a sign, it can be very tough. It can be very, 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 very difficult. And because you've got those Scorpio planets rather strong in your chart, this transit has not been easy for you. But like everything, astrology is a science of cycles and a science of timings. And a cycle will eventually end. And Christmas Eve will end the Saturn being in Scorpio, and then it will go into Sagittarius.
I love that.
One thing you must be aware of is that you're in the very last kind of last leg or last part of this period of Saturn being in Scorpio. And since your planets in Scorpio, two of them are at an early degree, Mercury at 6 degrees and Saturn at 8 degrees, Saturn now is in a late degree of Scorpio. It's on your Venus, which deals more with relationships and things like that. But it's passed over itself for the second time in your life. The first time it did that, you were 29 and a half years of age. And what happened at that point was also very difficult. Saturn's back over itself. So whenever we get this, it's called a Saturn return, we often have a lot of concentrated developmental tension. We often have stress in this, limitations here, blockage there, hurdles there, things to learn here. But when this planet moves on, there's like a breath of fresh air, and not only can you see the light at the end of the tunnel already, you'll be out of that tunnel when you get to Christmas Eve of this year. So there's going to be a lot to celebrate for this Christmas and New Year's. You'll have Saturn move out and not be back in its position with your Saturn for 27 more years.
Excellent.
I can tell having three planets in Scorpio and having Saturn moving through Scorpio in the sky that that's a bit of a rough transit. Now, what you've got to your advantage is you were born with Jupiter in Cancer, and Jupiter is in Cancer in the sky right now. And it's going to eventually move to the 27th degree is where you have the two planets there. And let's see if that's in late June or if it's in July. I have a book called An Ephemeris, and I can tell where planets are moving at times. All right, this is the date that this one will occur. It will be the 3rd and 4th of July. So it'll be Independence Day and the day before it. Now, what does that mean? It means you're getting a Jupiter return then, and that only happens once in 12 years. So if this is occurring in 2014, the last time you had that was 2002. And that is an energy that's very lucky for you. That's an energy that's excellent to start new endeavors. That's an energy that's very positive for having a sense of happiness. Now, people may say, well, he sounds like he's contradicting himself. Here's this Saturn difficulty. Well, you've had that since October 2012. So that's been a long-lasting thing. What you've got now as a breath of fresh air to help you is Jupiter in Cancer. And it's in an early part of Cancer right now. I believe it's around 11 or 12 degrees at the time we're doing this reading. It's got to go all the way to 27 degrees Cancer. So that'll be close to 3-4 more months. And that's why when we look at July 3rd and July 4th of 2014, you will get Jupiter on top of Jupiter. And boy, I'm telling you, that's the beginning of the getting off this Saturn off of your back. And that's also that time you're going to be having a bit of a Midas touch. Whatever you touch business, whatever you touch in studies, whatever you touch in classes, whatever you decide to
metaphysical,
you're going to have some very great power and very great luck. Well, I hope we've answered a lot of your questions in going around this wheel and talked about them.
It's been very enlightening, and I appreciate your time and your information, and a lot of things make sense to me, and I'm going to go look at it again, and I appreciate it very much, Ron.
Wait a minute, Marianna and Ron and Kelly, I need to say something, because, see, my tongue has been waiting to say things, and I just didn't want to interrupt. But first of all, I do want you to know that I have six planets in Leo. And I am the one that is the show off, the one that is wanting all the big stuff. And I told you, Marianne, that I thought you were more like a Cancer. And what did Ron just tell you? That you have two planets in Cancer and all the rest in water. So where I'm all fire with water, you're all water with a little fire. Is that too cool or what? We switched places.
Well, that's kind of good because you integrate with each other that way. You complement each other by having a balance, like a cosmic balance between each other.
Well, I will tell you, Ron, that I have always said to Marianne, and Marianne has been a friend for a very, very, very long time, I have said to Marianne that I feel she's a Cancer. She works with the earth. She cooks. She loves all the things that Cancers love, and you know I've denied Cancer since the day I've been born. I always say I'm a Sagittarius and a Leo, and I always believe that I gave my Cancer to Marianne. So I am just, this is such a profound reading for me because it justifies what I already knew. So I so thank you, and I know, Marianne, if you look back at it, these last 2.5 years have not been easy for you, and I know that Susan said you were coming out of it, that everything from the past is, remember your reading with Susan said that you were, everything was smooth sailing from now, and look, you've got Saturn going out of your house. So I think this is fabulous, and Ron, you're terrific, and I love you very much. And I know that you have two of my favorite birds right at your house, Bobby and Sheila. And we thank you for your reading, and we thank you for your time. And Marianne.
Well, they were adding their ideas, too, when I was talking.
I'm glad. Well, Marianne, I thank you for letting us see your chart, and I thank you for being here today. And now I'm going to put Kelly on. Kelly.
Hello.
I want to say that everybody, Kelly's in the house. Kelly's going to run the next hour. Without me, you won't have many interruptions, and you won't have, you probably will get more readings, actually. Don't you think, Kel? I wanted to say, I know you will. Everybody, Kelly's in the house. She's doing Atlantean life card readings. She is phenomenal. Please bear with her. She is going to run the board and take calls. I appreciate it. I want to tell everybody I'm going to see Evita tonight. It's at the Tampa Performing Theater, Performing of Art. I was invited by some friends. Evita was the matriarch of Argentina. I know everybody who's familiar with Broadway. It's been an old Broadway favorite of mine. And I thank you, Kelly, for allowing me to be able to do this. And I want everybody to know Kelly is fantastic. So Kelly's in the house. And I want to thank everybody. I do want to say before I leave, and Kelly, if you'll reiterate this at the end, we have a fabulous, fabulous guest tomorrow. We have three great, great people with us. We have not had Peg Jones here, and we are so excited. She's from angelicalwhispers.com. She's an angel card reader. She's an author. She's a teacher. She has her own radio show. She did, and I don't know if she still does or she's taking a hiatus, but we are happy to have her with us. And with her, we have the famous Amy Cavanaugh, who is our mermaid. She channels, so don't think she just does mermaid cards. She actually channels, too. And, you know, we have our co-host, our favorite, our girl, our Atlantean card reader, Kelly Coulter. And Kelly, with that, I'm going to leave you because you know I love you, and I'll keep talking. And I want you to get to your reading.
I gotta say, before you pop off.
Yes.
Before you bug out, Bonnie, hang on just a minute. I do have some. This is like breaking news flash. You and Susan will be on Saturday at 1 o'clock at your time with the caller that we missed on Monday. So.
Yeah.
She made a choice, and it's like, so, yeah, we had kind of a little oopsie stuff going on Monday, but Bonnie is making it right because she's a fantastic lady, and she and Susan are going to come on with that caller, and they're going to read her right here. We're going to schedule a special show, and they're going to take her at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Thank you, Kelly. I so appreciate it. Everyone have a great afternoon. Have a great tomorrow. We have such talented, wonderful, friendly, fabulous people in the house. Kelly, go for it. I love you. I love all our callers, listeners, and chatters. Kelly, have a great day and a great tomorrow. I'll be listening. I might even call in tomorrow because I'm so excited. But thank you for that heads up on Saturday. We are going to make it right when I promise something. And if I can't, I will actually make it right. And I appreciate your help with that, Kelly. And thank you. We will see our guest on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Thanks, Kelly.
You betcha. All righty. We will see
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
And,
bye-bye.
Ron, one of these days I want to make sure that I get you for a reading because I want to do yours. So it's like you need to at some point schedule some time so that, to stay on with us for an hour the next hour so I can actually read your cards for you.
Well, thank you. I will do just that.
All righty. Sounds well. Thank you. As usual, Ron is fantastic with what he does, and I hope you guys that popped in here. It's like we'll go back and listen in archives because Ron was talking about the moon today and some of the aspects and all that wonderful stuff. And golly, he has so much knowledge to share with us. And it's like he really it's like getting a free class on air, guys. So it's like take advantage of this man's knowledge. He is like literally like a PhD in astrological studies, and he's been doing this for like 43 years. And Ron is absolutely amazing. And we love having you on. We really do.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, everyone.
All righty. You betcha. We'll see you again.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye. All righty. Let's see here. Well, we will with my blog talk. We'll combine here. Okay, there we go. All right. One of these times I'm actually going to have to get a song or something in here besides the Monster Mash, which I love. But we have several of you guys here today, and I'm going to work really hard and make sure that I get all of you in. We're going to start, just so you know the order, so, some people will hang on here, so you won't think I won't get to you. We're going to start with 720. That is going to be our first caller. And then our next one will be area code 562. Our third one will be area code 207. Our fourth caller will be 713. And finally, we have area code 651. So that is the order the queue is in today. And away we go here. All right. 720, and we're going to hope blog's going to, my computer's been messing up a little bit here. 720, who do I have today? Whoops, 720, let's see, let me make sure I can hear my own self here. 720, are you on mute? Are you with us? Because I'm not hearing you at all. Did you accidentally mute yourself? Nope, 720 popped out. Okay. Guess they got shy on me. All right, here we go. All right, 562, you are the next one up here. And 562, who have we got?
Hi, this is Kelly.
Kelly,
can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, a little bit, little bit staticky. Let's see. I'm gonna see if I can clear that up. Let's see if I can hear you better. Is it? Did you say Kelly?
I'm sorry.
Did you say Kelly?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. So you're a Kelly also. let's see. A little bit on that means. Let's see. Amazon warrior, or so I was told. All right. Today, what I do is. I do your birth cards, and what I need for that is just the, I need your month, and I need your date, and then whatever your current age is. And then if you have a specific question that you want to ask with that, we'll kind of not do so much general, and we'll do a little more specific targeted to what your question is.
April 26, 1970, and
it'll be... Okay, and how old are you?
46.
That's that in the Chinese. That's the year of the dog. Very faithful people.
Yeah, we are. Very true.
Okay, your current age is. Let me say. Okay, you're gonna make me do math. 80, 90, 01. So you're 40. You're 43 right now, and you'll be turning 44. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so you, when you turn 44, yeah, because that's you're coming up soon. It's like where you're going to be at is right, you know, like at the end cycle of this year. But let's see, 2020 and 26, right? Did I hear that one right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you are an eight of clubs with a four of spades as your planetary ruler, and what I do know about eight of clubs people is you guys are. One of there's some cards that are like, you know, listed as like the most psychic cards in the deck, and you are one of them. So you have a great deal of intuition all on your. Okay, if you don't like the word psychic, you know, we can say it, your gut feeling, your hunches, your EFP, your that little nickel, that voice that knows, you know, whatever it is, because you know, beyond, I don't know, the metaphysical gifts, let's put it that way, because it's beyond physical. Just as we have physical senses of sight, we can have a metaphysical sense of sight. We can have a metaphysical sense of hearing, you know, because some people see, some people hear, some people smell, some people taste, some people can feel touches, and some people just know things. So it's like, you know, whatever way you receive that information, you do always get, you know, some kind of something from the other side where and sometimes it's hard to sort out at the beginning because you kind of go, oh, it's just me. And they're like, you know, but the thing of it is, what you find out is if you listen to your own inner sense, inner knowing, whatever you want to call it, you find out that things go better in life. Whereas if you ignore them, things come apart at the seams and you go, dang, if I'd have just done that. And it's like, and then you go back and say, yeah, I had that feeling. And if I'd have just done that, you know, and that's how we learn. It took me several years to learn that. Whereas, like, if I just followed that little nudge, you know, it's like going, maybe you should do it this way. It's like, yeah, I think I'll do that. Things just turned out much better. I'm going to start with your planetary ruler simply because the eight is your birth card. That is, you know, like solidly who you are, you know, all your life. The planetary ruler comes across as it's like the outer face of the world. You know, the birth card is like definitely your inner person, and the planetary ruler would be like in Western astrology, kind of like the ascendant. So it's like it's how it comes across to other people. It makes you more security oriented. It encourages you to create a solid foundation in your life. It gives you really good organizational skills and a logical mind that can keep your life peaceful. You tend towards family and home matters, you know, make them extra important in your life. You're really a hard worker, fours are, and you actually enjoy working, which also brings you peace. Just keep in mind other people may not always see the value in the same things that you do. They may, you know, other people say, well, wow, you're really being stubborn. You know, you're really not willing to see, you know, this from my point of view. But you like to build a life on a firm foundation, just, you know, one block at a time. Sometimes you have fears about money that just, like, comes out of nowhere, you know, and sometimes you tend to attract friends that have money. So that's, you know, kind of how that manifests out. Now, the Eight of Clubs itself, as I said, is one of the more psychic cards in the deck, and each of the cards has their own personal name here. Like I say, I'm really kind of excited, too, because this at age 43, you're coming up to age 44, which is going to be your, like, your pre-birth year. So I sincerely hope you call back after your birthday, because the next 2 years are going to be, like, some huge changes. I mean, this is what people, you know, the outer world calls, like, the midlife crisis happens at age 45. But 44 is kind of that prep year. You know, you kind of feel like you're walking along in the London fog, so to speak, and you're just kind of, you know, things are just kind of hazy and muddled. And they kind of relate that to the same time frame as when you were actually in utero with your mom. So it's like, you know, you were there, you were alive, you were with things, and yet, you know, you didn't always perceive everything that there was to perceive around you. Okay, the Eight of Clubs is called the Mental Power card. It is one of the three fixed cards, and you've got a lot of strong mental power, and you're not easily swayed by other people's views or opinions. A lot of successful attorneys are Eight of Clubs, but literally your power can be applied to any mental field with great success. And typically they mention, you know, chemists, rocket scientists, nuclear physicists, you know, Eight of Clubs people. Really, Clubs people are the scholars of the deck, and they can really learn anything. Your life path is one of the most successful in the whole deck. You can achieve just about anything you set your mind to. That's the operative word, is setting your mind to it. And you can attain wealth and prominence if you work at it. But the big thing is you got to make sure your life is kept in balance. Mental and emotional peace is really essential for you to maintain success. You've got a lot of psychic power. You can be a great healer, using that gift, you know, for healing others, healing, you know, your family, yourself, the planet, whatever it is. All of your gifts can be applied with great success, and you just need to become aware of your goal in life, really, to have, you know, success and accomplishment. So, like, what you feel like you really want to achieve. The flip side of this, because there's always, like, you know, the two-sided coin there. Sometimes some of the cards have three sides. It's because it's a fixed card, sometimes it's really difficult for you to deal with changes. And, of course, I think it was one of our more infamous scientists that said, you know, make a friend out of change because it's the only thing that's constant. I think it was that same guy that did the EMC squared stuff. So anyway, but it's your mind, your concepts, ideas, and principles that are really fixed. And often you're born. It just seems like you're born with that set of principles that you're going to live your life by, refuse to change. And invariably, though, there's going to be certain periods of life where changes of the mental structures they're going to happen. And they're difficult, but it's part of your karmic path. You're always more healthy and alive after changes, which some come literally sort of as this death and rebirth. So it's kind of like the phoenix rising. It's like, you know, the legend with that. It's like, you know, the bird, you know, is like literally consumed its own fires, becomes, you know, a pile of ash, and then it raises again out of it. So it serves to literally rebirth you. If you have the opportunity to work with somebody who is a Jack of Hearts or a King of Spades birth cards, it's going to bring far-reaching success if, you know, two or three of you together are really committed to doing great work for humanity. And for best results in life, really, and this is a hard one, you let your work come before your personal life and you really keep them separate. Because if you don't kind of put that work ahead of it, you lose a lot of your power. You know, and it's not to say that, you know, your family can't be your work or, you know, things like that, but it's that fine line you guys walk. Essentially, you have good marriage karma. You're less prone to the emotional ups and downs a lot of the other cards have. You got that Four of Spades in Venus, too, which is also a sign you appreciate stability of home and family, really enough to avoid the changes in love life that affect a lot of the other cards. At one point, however, somewhere along the line, you're going to either experience, you know, like a difficult divorce or separation of some sort in the relationship area. And it sometimes comes in association with someone of the diamond suit. You know, it can be a spouse or it could be, you know, break with a sibling, something like that. It's like, you know, not always a divorce, but there's going to be some major learning. That death and breakup is like a karma that's got to be dealt with from the past, usually past life. Because of your fixed nature, when that kind of a change comes, it's not easy to deal with. Women, Eight of Clubs, often end up in some kind of association with a younger diamond male who is going to, you know, introduces you to like either a highly spiritual, you know, a romantic love. And that usually occurs in your 40s. So you're coming into this time frame where you're going to have some different things happen. You know, when you discover there's more to the world than just, you know, this fixed concept, really you come face-to-face with your desire for adventure, variety, you know, and romantic experiences. So sometimes it'll either, you know, take the form of, you know, that divorce or that change to help graduate you to a new level in life and to break out of that fixed pattern. Let's see. Okay. That being said, is there anything in specific you want to ask about?
Well, you know, you're not correct. I mean, I went through a divorce about 3 years ago. And so
wow.
I think that has affected my relationship with men in general because I tend to not be trusting. There's
okay.
a person that I've been talking to. He lives in Colorado. And, you know, he
okay.
is younger, you know. So I have, like, these reservations because I'm, you know, my career always comes first. My responsibilities comes first.
Right.
Don't know. Everything you said, it's like right on mark. I don't know that balance. I haven't found that balance, and I don't know how to trust, you know, when it comes to relationship or love or anything like that because, again, I'm so driven
right.
by goals and responsibilities that I don't know how
right.
to introduce that sensitive or that relationship
that
side of my life. I don't know how to bring it in. I don't know if it's right. I don't know if that's the right person. So I'm super analyze everything, and then I don't pursue it. I let it go. I push it
right.
away or forget about it. So
right.
that's my problem that I'm dealing now that I don't know, and I don't know if this person, he has the same birthday as my daughter, which is July the 30th, and he's a Leo.
Wow.
And,
okay.
So I don't know. I mean, he's, you know, Leos are very wonderful people, but I don't know how is that going to relate with me. And again, you know, being in a different state, how, you know, is it worth
right.
pursuing it or what?
Right. What's really interesting here is like what you've had for this whole year, your long range has been a three of spades, which threes bring us a lot of that creative energy, but it's also a focus on work and health. What you've got here, too, and it's like you're in the, let me see here. I was just going to look that real quick and see where you're at because each of the planets that, you know, it's not like straight-up astrology. It's like these have like, this is very mathematical. It's like assigned values, if you will. So your personal year starts on, you know, of course, 26th of April. That's your Mercury time frame, and each of these goes for 52 days. So the Venus time, so, you know, you got Mercury for 52 days, then Venus comes in June 17th. You got Mars starting August 8th. You've got Jupiter starting September 29th. You've got Saturn starting November 20th. You got Uranus starting January 12th. And then last of all, you got Neptune starting March 5th. So you're in your Neptune time like right now because you're in that 52 days right before your birthday. Fast with that, you know, come back in archives and grab that. But where you're at, it's like you've had, you know, right now in Neptune, it's like you've had, well, in, I'm going to back up a little bit. In Uranus, you had a two of diamonds with a six of clubs. That six of clubs came forward to the Neptune time frame also. So you've had the last, like, 104 days before your birthday with fact-finding. You know, it's really like finding your purpose in life. You know, it's like we're talking about the purpose-driven life. I think it was, you know, Stephen Covey. But it's about where you're really going to find out, you know, what it is you want to do, you know, really give yourself some direction. But the interesting thing that I'm seeing here is you've got a Pluto card, which is like your challenge for the year, and then you've got a result card, and these are read as a pair. Your Pluto card is a six of hearts, which talks about a karmic relationship or, you know, it's a relationship coming in with karma. You've also got a result card as the five of spades, which is the card of the wanderer. So there's some indication that the challenge you've set for yourself is this love that's, you know, supposed to come in, but at the same time, the answer to it is you may be relocating. because, so it could be a fact of, you if you have a person that's, long distance, it's like long distance relationships are extremely hard because, you really at some point you have to be close up and personal with a person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a factor of you might end up moving. I mean, that might be the solution. I don't know if that'll happen, before your birthday. It's like, we'll wait and see. What I do know is just looking forward a little bit, that's why I said I sincerely hope, you'll call back for more of this, after your birthday. But next mm-hmm. year, your long-range card is the Six of Hearts, which is all about this karmic relationship. And you've got some really, some good things. It's like, for the 44th year, you've got like the Three of Diamonds and Four of Diamonds. So you're going to be, your challenge is, looking for creative ways, to make money and stuff. But at the same time, the result is, you're going to have that Four of Diamonds, which you're going to have some solid stability. So it may indicate, either a move, get your resume out there and it's like, be looking for a place and space to move, or just kind of seeing if this is going to be the same person. Of course, the thing of it is like really to look at a pair, the other person, I need their birth date at least so I see what their card is. And it gives you, a lot more complete picture. But it does, your year does start out with the Lover's card. It's like there's somehow or other there's a Nine of Clubs and a Two of Hearts. Nines are, doors closing for different things. And then the two is, union and love. Wow, I'd love to play cards with you. I'd love to play your hand coming up in the 44th year. You've got a Nine of Clubs, Ten of Clubs, a Jack of Clubs, a Queen of Clubs, and a King of Clubs. You got like a pretty good flush going there. And then sequential. It's like that goes like for the whole, that's like your Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. So it's like, you've got some learning, and it's just like you're going up the stair steps. But then again, that makes a lot of sense because the 44th year is your pre-birth year. So you're preparing to make this shift. And whatever's going to happen with that, on your 45th year, you've actually got the Four of Spades as your planet, as your like your long range card. So it's like it's going to be your where you're really getting stable. So you've got in the next couple of years, you've got some amazing things going to open up, unfold, and it's like it may take you in directions you never thought. So
mm-hmm.
that makes sense.
So basically, call you went after my birthday because right now everything is kind of like not
right.
too.
Yeah, because right now, was it in Neptune? Neptune is the planet of dreams, but it's also the planet of illusions and fantasy. So you can have a dream, which hoping you're going to make it a goal, but it's like it's also been called like the beer goggles, and when Neptune's there, you got the beer goggles on, or you got the rose colored glasses on. And you can visualize and hope that things are the way you want them to be, but when you take your rose-colored glasses off, they're really not quite what you thought it was. So in this instance, when you get something like this with the Six of Clubs, it's a good idea to kind of just, hold off on making decisions until your next birthday. Just because, which is like I said, it's like a month out, so it's like it's just kind of hanging fire for a little bit. And just kind of, just kind of let the status quo go. Just kind of, be pleasant, be nice, just be your normal, awesome self, and just kind of let things, just it's like sitting by a stream and just kind of watching the water go, just kind of let things flow along. Don't try to push a river, but it's also a fact-finding thing, like I said, purpose-finding year for you in the sense that, you might take some time to contemplate, you might take some time to really, literally spend by, a stream or spend some time in meditation, things like that, and really, work on kind of, say what is, it's like writing down for yourself what things are the most important to me. And say, like, if I'm looking for this relationship, what things are important in a relationship? It's like, of course, you're going to have some right at the top. It's like, I need to be able to trust this person. So I don't even know how to explain this. When it's kind of like when the right person comes along, you're going to, like, know them on a soul level. It's like, and you're going to go, this person is different from that other person that hurt me. I am able to trust them. And it's like, but a lot of that is communication, and a lot of where that the shakiness is coming from is that long distance, because you really don't have that, kind of like day-to-day personal interaction with a person. I mean, it's really different when you're just trying to do it, texting or Skyping or, whatever. It's like, it's not the same, and it's not the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Okay. So literally, you know, it's like, you know, take your you know, steno book out or whatever and just write down some of the things that you want to, you know, that you're hoping to achieve, that, you know, what your goals are. You know, write down your goals and dreams. And then the other part of it is you kind of look at it, you know, day by day, because a dream is just a dream until you make it a goal. A goal is when you go, I need to take this step to do this. I need to take that step to do that. And it's like each and every day you focus on a step of going, I'm one step closer. You know, it's like you might be walking along with your shoelaces tied together. You know, you might be taking the Tim Conway itty bitty steps, you know,
mm-hmm.
but you're moving forward. Okay.
Yeah, I am. Slowly but surely.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I will definitely call you back after my birthday and see what changes are, you know.
Cool.
These changes happen daily, but I'm sure there's more to come.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. We'll talk to you again. All righty. And let's see, our next person here is today. Sorry, guys, it's we're having some of the blog moments and the switchboard's a little bit slow today here, but we're getting there. Okay, there we go, finally. All right, 207, there we go, 207, you're on with us.
Hello.
Hello, who are we talking to?
My name is Dee, and you need my birth date?
Hi. I do.
Okay, it's August 30th, 1961.
30 of 61, okay, let's see, you're a heart person, and I think you're one of those special heart people. I want to say, yeah, okay. Yep, you're a nine of hearts. You're a nine of hearts with a seven of clubs. So, man, you have taken on some work to do this lifetime, tell you that right now.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
Every day is like, it's, you know, every year seems like high school graduation. It's like the ninth people come to tie things up, to finish things up, to, you know, whether it's from past lives, whether it's from, you know, whatever. You're on a mission here, which you already probably know.
It feels like it. Yeah.
All right. Well, you've got I'm starting with the planetary ruler. You've got that seven of clubs there. It gives you really a spiritual or philosophical nature to your thinking and your disposition. You might also be a little bit of a skeptic or a critic, but, you know, that's the Virgo coming out. Inwardly, you kind of hold on to some less practical ideas and beliefs. You might have had a lot of realizations about life as you experience this mental, you know, awakening from time to time. You like to spend money, and you need to be careful in your management of it. Also, you secretly desire to be noticed or recognized by others, and you might gravitate toward a job that allows you either, you know, that recognition, that attention. And again, you may find that you kind of fluctuate between being very carefree and joyous to being quite worried and down about things, you know, kind of that, some of the yo-yo, okay? And you may have some unusual mental gifts, okay, as, you know, a lot of Virgo people and a lot of the sevens do. It's like the sevens are the cards of faith. And really and truly with that seven of clubs, the clubs are the scholars of the deck. So, you know, yeah, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if you're exhibiting some interesting things about, you know, either being able to, you know, read people just to know things about situations,
yes.
you know,
yes.
have some intuitive, you know, right.
Definitely.
Okay. Definitely. Okay. And let's see what the nines has. Okay, the nine of hearts is that universal love card. And most of the nines, you know, they start with universal, you know, whatever it is in their description. So with that nine of hearts, it's a card of great fulfillment, great loss, or both. And it's like chances are I'm going to say both. And that's, you know, it depends a lot on how you look at this life and how you're, you know, looking at things. But this card and its displacement, which is a seven of diamonds, are both spiritual numbers. Yep, I was right. Okay, you're in that group of the fixed and semi-fixed cards. You've got karma cards, specifically the seven of diamonds, the ace of clubs, the two of hearts, the jack of hearts, the eight of clubs, and the king of spades. Wow. And this is so funny because I see this with energy patterns. Okay, so our previous caller was an eight of clubs, and here you are, you're in that special family. You're a Nine of Hearts person. So the energy's going today. Okay, they're both spiritual members, and just that fulfillment that comes is rarely a personal fulfillment until you put all your personal desires, you know, you set them aside and you put them in the proper place. It's a double Saturn card, the nine is. You cannot deviate from what is, you know, quote, true and right for you, you know, or
yes.
whatever, without swift and sometimes bitter, you know, rebuke, that boomerang just whacks you, okay? All the nines people have come to settle affairs and deaths in the past and just, you know, pay what you owe and move on. And in your specific case with the hearts, there's going to be completions or endings of key relationships. And it represents completion of certain soul chapters. You know, it's like you're graduating, okay, you're moving up in the spiritual level. If you resist those endings, it's going to be looked at as a disappointment and a loss instead of the graduation that truly is. You know, it's just your graduation cap on and going, yay, I got through that door. You're going to go, ding. It's like Linus when Lucy whipped his blanket away from him, you know, running through the wash and dry,
yes.
after like a little, you know, basket case. It's like, so it just is really, this is about making your mind open. It's like how you want to look at it. It's seeing the light behind the thunder cloud, okay? Your life path is full of spiritual lessons. And if you're heeding the call and you adhere to those higher values, you've got what seems to be like really a blessed life. You know, and if you don't do that, if you give in to your fears, you know, the escapist tendencies, you're going to have suffering, you know. And I tell people, escapist
okay.
is not always, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, I'm escaping, you know, drugs, alcohol, you know, that. No. I've seen people escape in books, you know, or just not be
yes.
present in life, you know what I mean? So you don't have to be, you know, on any kind of medication to escape. It's like, Calgon, take me away, okay, you know. Although we need that, you know, periodically. But, you know, I'm not saying, you know, a good double bath and whatever, it's, you know, the candles and candlelight. You know, it's like there's a place for that. There really is, especially if you're mom with young children at the end of the day. But there's, you know, and there's likely to be some financial losses during certain periods of your life. And again, if you can interpret those as, you know, like payments of past obligations, which is what they truly are, you have a much better, you know, way of looking at it and just letting it go. Really, you are a giver. You're endowed with great mind, you know, great heart, share with the world. You might be found in counseling because of your natural desire to give to others. And if you're not a paid professional counselor, you might just be that shoulder that everybody cries on in your family or, you know, friends. Just be careful
yes.
not to play the martyr. Keep it on a business basis, okay? Your intellectual creativity is just unsurpassed, and you can apply to any field of science or business with great success. Part of your challenge, you know, here we go, challenge again, is using that creativity in a mature way. And don't travel the lower path, because if, you know, if you're dishonest somehow, or if you're, you know, not fully, you know, honest with people, it's, again, it's going to bite you, and it's going to bite you bad. So, you know, we see two types of Nine of Hearts people, and it's like, and I'm sure you've probably met it. There's either the really happy giving person, or one who has suffered many disappointments in life. So it's like, you know, and it's up
yeah.
to you. It really is. You have that choice. And it's just always, it's always up to you to manifest that higher side. Even if you're working with, you know, such a spiritually challenged soul pattern, and that's what they call it. In relationships, here we go, that's one of the things that people want to know about. When, you know, unless, big capital unless you're operating on higher and universal side of the nine, you can have some of the most difficult personal relationships of any card in the deck. It's going to be less, and it's just literally your own attitude that will turn those losses into completions or fulfillments or the graduations that they're supposed to be. You're somewhat
okay.
restless emotionally, and you know, you're likely either to, like, you know, change your mind about what kind of relationship you want, or, you know, if this is not you, you'll attract who cannot make the commitment that love demands. Okay, so one or the other.
Okay.
The caveat is you can be a very codependent card. So, you know, this is just like a warning sign. You know, step out. Don't get into that. Some of them can adopt, you know, that victim savior attitude, you know, and that just, it creates a multitude of problems. Don't go there. You know, it just makes it harder to sort through the challenges when you appear. So, you know, the big thing is, don't tell yourself that you're doing everything to help your partner, you know, because really you can get to the truth faster and find the satisfaction you seek when you realize that a lot of this is you're doing for your soul growth. So it's like, and that's where you want to be, is, like, you know, step up and do that higher vibe. Okay, and let's see. I'm looking at 61. Okay, you're making me do math today here. Okay, 71, 81, 91, 1, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, so you haven't had your birthday yet. So you are 52 this year. Is that right? This is your 52nd year?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And that is always an amazing time and point for everybody. Everybody at the age of 52, it's called the year when you really decide to live fully on this planet, or you kind of go, I'm just going to, like, you know, drift along in the boat of life, and I'm really not going to row much, paddle much. It's like, I'm just going to let the tide take me wherever. And you don't really engage in life, you know, because really this is, you know, this year is about going, you know, I'm the captain of my boat, I'm going to steer it, and I'm going to go where I want to go. And it's like, I'm going to have some direction to this instead of just letting me, you know, the tides and winds take me wherever, okay? So that's what, you know, that's what you're kind of about this year. Although you've got an ace of diamonds in your long range, which there's really, there's an interest in generating new ways to make income. So it's really, you know, some financial things that might be on your mind this year. The deeper meaning for diamonds is also your values. So it might also be a quest for your personal values, you know, again, on that journey of, you know, am I going to row, or am I just going to, you know, picture the person in the rowboat, you know, with the hat over their, you know, over their eyes, kind of dangling their, you know, hand in the water type of thing, you know. So you're either going to be up and rowing, or you're going to be the dangler in the water, okay?
Okay.
You know, you're going to be, you know, you're finding, you know, you're finding things that you want to do. It's like, you know, and you're finding out, it's like, man, do I want to do this? And like I say, really just engaging life and figuring out if this is where you want to be. Because, and a lot, you know, and what I will recommend, I'm going to give you a website to go to. It's www.laurapierat. It's LauraPierat. And I'll try to say that slower so we got to talk to you. www.laurapierat. She has a free podcast. Is called The Daily Dose of Love. She did it. It's channeled information. It's for free because the group that she's going through said the light workers and the people trying to help raise the vibrations of this planet are getting tired. And it's like, this is, you know, because it is. It's like, this is, it's tiring to try to educate, you know, educate the planet, so to speak, and try to raise this vibration. That's what they can help us do. So those are designed for people who are in the light work, you know, and if you're getting kind of, oh man, I'm saying, you know, burning out, you know, that kind of stuff, try her daily dose of love. It's like, I think of it as the morning, you know, 15, you know, I don't know if it's always 15 minutes, but, you know, it's a few minutes each morning of, you know, just that, your spiritual cup of coffee, so to speak. So it's just to give you a boost, it's to give you some positive feedback, and it's just going to help you, you know, get on a positive track for the day. Okay, so, you know, do go check that one out. Okay,
can I ask you something? I don't know if you can see this, but this I'm in the middle of probating a will, and I'd like to know if that, can you see this year how that would look for me?
Okay, let me see where you're at. Okay, Mercury, your Venus is in October. Your Mars is December 12th. Your Jupiter is February 3rd. Your Saturn starts March 27th. What's today? Today is the 19th, I think. Okay. You're still in Jupiter. Okay. You're just in this end of Jupiter time frame, and you're going to be working on going into Saturn. In the Jupiter time frame, you've got a six of hearts and a three of clubs. It's like there's some, you know, there's some positive things there because Jupiter is always, you know, the beneficial, the expander. If it goes into the Saturn time frame, if it changes dates, in Saturn you've got an ace of spades and you've got a king of spades. So it's like, you know, very, the highest, you know, highest two of the deck. The ace is like the trans, the card of the magi and the transformer, you know, like, you know, I consider the card of the phoenix. But the king of spades is also that, you know, driving your boat. You're going to work really hard for whatever happens. If it goes into the Uranian time, you've got a six of spades and a queen of spades, which is like self-mastery, but it's also that karmic, there's some karmic payback. And in your Neptune, you've got a six of clubs, which is also, you know, the karmic stuff. So, you know, what I can say about it, and I will suggest that you call in, you know, maybe like tomorrow and ask this of Amy's going to be doing mermaid cards and Peg is going to be doing angel cards. What I would say out of this is just that whatever happens is going to be absolutely fair. It's going to be absolutely just. It's going to be the way it's supposed
okay.
to be. But I don't know
okay.
if that is, if it's going to be the way you want it to be, okay? Does that make sense?
Well, yes, but the person is, if it's going to be fair and just, it would be the way I want it to be because of the way it's going
okay.
now. You know, and if
okay.
I can't, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Right, got it. Yeah, don't talk about lawyer stuff on this. Yeah, not on air.
Okay.
That's why you book personal readings. Exactly. Yeah, but, you know, but if you want just a little more, insight with that, because Amy's pretty
yes.
good with the intuition, and so is Peg, so it's like, you know, give us a call back because we'll be on tomorrow, same time, same phone number. So,
okay.
yeah, call us back tomorrow and let them have a look because, you know, we get a double dose of the gals.
Okay. <cool. laughs>
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, hopefully we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Was there any other questions, or did that kind of
yes.
answer it? Or,
yes.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
One more. Does it look like
one
a
more.
Possible move this year for
possible
me?
Possible move. You don't have any five cards this year, but you've got two five cards after your birthday. You've got five of diamonds, which is, five moving values, money. And you've got a five of hearts, which is typically, you know, it's like it's called, you know, like the divorce card. But it just means a change. The fives are restless energy and changes. And a lot of times under those fives, the fives is when we see people, you know, either relocate or something like that. So it might not be... let's see, I'm going to say your Neptune time. You're in the Saturn right now. That would be probably a couple, three, four. I'm going to peg it out there. Probably, it would be probably in the fall. It's like if you were going to move, it would be after you, it would likely would be like after your birthday, in the fall sometime, but, you know, I mean, everything is open to free will. You know, it's like, I mean, you know, we can say,
yeah.
okay, here's what the cards say. At the same time, if you see something coming up that, you know, you say, okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, move forward this a little bit faster, it's like you absolutely can do that because this is kind of like the suggestion. It's kind of like the roadmap, but, you know, when you see what's on the roadmap, you go, okay, you know, I'm going to choose to do this, you know, now instead of waiting for this. So it's like, and so, yeah, so I would say, the restless energy is coming up for you, but it won't be till after your birthday.
Yeah.
But again, free will.
Yeah, no, I know. I know.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Please do call
okay,
back
thank
call
you.
Tomorrow and see what the gals have for you tomorrow, too.
I will.
And thank you for calling
thank
in
you.
Today. All righty.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
You bet. Bye. Okay. And away we go. Thank you guys for hanging on. And, you know, I will... Oh, darn. Okay, our switchboard is freezing just a little bit there. Okay, there we are. You know, if you guys will hang on, we've got four more callers, and I'm willing to go into overtime with you guys because we do have some, you know, we do have some extra time. So, you know, even if we go out there, we can still, if you'll stay in the queue, we can still get you in. Okay, 713, you are up with us.
Hi, Kelly. This is Candy.
Hi, Candy. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. My birthday is 6/14, and I'm 54.
And 54?
Mm-hmm.
54. Okay. All righty. 6/14. Let's see. You're a Gemini person.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize that one. I have a Gemini son there. Let's see. And his is actually 6/16. Okay. Wow. Oh, that's right. Let's see. You are a three of diamonds. And you have got the ace of, you know, 13, nope, let me look and make sure, okay, 14, okay, three of diamonds with the ace of spades. Wow, so you've got the card of the Magi as your planetary ruler, yeehaw. Three of diamonds energy, and I will say that's a really restless person. You've got a lot of creativity. I see this because... It's ironic because you have the same birth card as my son-in-law. It's really funny how things can manifest around and things. Okay,
I know.
Yeah, creativity. Yeah. Let's see. I can't remember. Do you have a specific question today, or just kind of want a general, or you know, what
just
what
a general. Just a general.
Okay. All righty. Three of Diamonds. Yeah. You're just going to love this one. It's considered one of the most difficult life paths of all the cards, especially if it's a woman, because you have the Queen of Diamonds as your personality and karma card, and it's the other most difficult card in the deck. So you came in to work and work, working at the car wash. You got some indecision in values, along with some past life relationship karma. You've got this Six of Hearts as your karma card, and it can result in a lot of challenges with affections. And you can also be some of the biggest worriers about your finances. All the threes, you know, have that, you know, they're highly creative cards, and the flip side is there's a lot of worry and decision. So you've got to find constructive outlets for, call their overactive mind, okay? Best remedy is just to find some expression for your creativity. You've got to express yourself. So whether you're laying bricks in a pattern, whether you're decorating cakes, whether you're, you know, putting on a puppet play for, you know, children or grandchildren or at the local library, you know, whatever it is, find the creativity. You know, kind of like that Mary Poppins song, you know, with every job that must be done, there's an element of fun. You find the fun and snap the job is done. So that's what you're looking for, is that kind of creativity that makes things fun. Natural interest in metaphysics needs to be cultivated if you're going to have more peace in your life and really overcome many hurdles and temptations. You've got a mind that can penetrate the secrets of the universe. And among those secrets is the understanding about your life, your personal karma that you're here to deal with. And when you have that understanding, it brings a lot of peace into your life. And you always, can't talk right here, you always know right from wrong, although sometimes you really try to ignore what you know. When you do that, if it's the ostrich with the tail feathers in the air, it's like going to go, something's going to zap you, okay? You're going to get a feather plucked there, okay?
Yeah.
And go, wait a minute, okay?
Yes.
Not all of the threes have those. When you're operating out of the high side of the card, you're very creative, very productive. You express yourself in a multitude of productive ways. And you can be really good as, entertainers, public speakers, you know, something like that. I'm visualizing you at Toastmasters, you know, something like that. You've got a very powerful mind and usually powerful voice to match. And with that voice and the mental resources to back it up, you can be a very effective promoter. You know, think sales. Yeah, I know. Once you've found something you believe in. And for a potential employer, they need to consider themselves lucky if they would have you promoting their products or services, because whatever you put your heart and soul into and believe in, it's like you are just going to shout from the highest mountain. Selling snowballs to Eskimos, yeah, comes to mind there. There we go. Okay. You've got a lot of satisfaction in business where you can travel or just do, you know, a lot of different things. Variety is key for you. Sometimes there's somebody younger who you got to make sacrifices for, either, you know, whether it's one of your own biological children or, you know, niece, nephew, you know, adopted somebody.
My husband's younger than me. My husband.
Okay. Got it. That's
got
it. The biggest child we raised, yes. Totally got that. You got two nines in your life path, and later life years can be disappointing, capital, unless you develop the spiritual side, which we're pretty sure you're working on, and it's going to give you, you know, your spiritual side gives you that peace and wisdom. And really, truly, you're kind of like the people that are here in the shoe store to try on, you know, to try on things for size. You know, it's here to try on ideas for size and the values. So the threes not only are about finances, but they're also about your values. You try a lot of things on for size, and you settle on the truth, okay? Settle on the shoe that fits good. You always benefit from changes and travel. Vice, you know, if you can pursue a career that gives you some freedom, you know, to travel, it's like, oh, Lord, these guys. They pop in. It's like the Fuller Brush, you know, salesman. I was like, oh, thank you. It's like, I don't even think I've heard of those guys for a while. But, you know, just something like that where, you know, gives you some outs. You know, it's like I'm thinking maybe fairs, you know, a lot of people get on like what I call the fair circuit. You know, they have like personal products to promote. And there's a lot of like the weekend, you know, whether it's flea markets or and you know the fairs I'm talking about, right? Like, you know, kind of the bazaars, things where you go, you know, set up a booth and do that kind of stuff. You know, you would probably really enjoy something like that if you had like, you know, if you're in your own, if you're into sewing or if you do into crafting or if you're into, even if you have, you know, like pre-made products, you know, something like that, or if you're doing your own jewelry, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, it's like something like that you'd probably really enjoy. And, you know, it would get you in the public. You'd meet a lot of people. You'd exchange a lot of business cards, and you'd have a lot of connections. So might be something you might consider anyway. Now with relationship, runs neck and neck with the Queen of Diamonds being the most difficult in the deck, because there's such creativity in the card that you come into this life just feeling like, you know, there's boundless realm 6-4 and experience. And at some point, you also realize there's a flip side. You've got tremendous fears of abandonment and betrayal that you got to deal with along the way. Sometimes, you know, when you were, I'm going to say when you were younger, you know, might have manifested as what's referred to as multiple relationships, or, you know, dating the field, okay, in our generation, or just maybe some chronic indecision, you know, regarding love and marriage until, you know, and then when you deal with those is when you find the person, you know, that you hang with, okay? So,
okay.
Yeah, it does say that, you know, multiple marriages were common with this, you know, as with the Queen of Diamonds, so don't know if that happened or not, but it's like, you know, usually when you find that one person, you found a sticking point. You got a Seven of Hearts in Venus, just tells us you're learning to let others be as they are, and by doing that is healing your own fears of betrayal or abandonment. It's like not having to control everything. It's literally you get into a relationship, and then you try to micromanage it, and it doesn't work, and it's like, but the way to do it, right, okay, the Star Wars thing. Let me think. Remember, I don't know if you ever saw that one where, you know, Leia Organa says to Darth Vader, it's like, you know, the more you tighten your grip, the more star systems will slip through your fingers, okay? And it's kind of like that with relationships. It's more like the more you try to tighten down on somebody, the more they slip through. So it's like, you know, when you open your hand and just, you know, let the birds come and feed on your hand, like Beauty and the Beast, it's a lot easier because it's that trusting, it's that openness. So it's like, you know, we get into relationship to be with that person, but you don't want to tie him up like a mummy either, because that doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
Okay. let's see, the Six of Hearts is your first karma card. When you first came in life, you know, when you were younger, you might have had the tendency to be just, you know, a little bit thoughtless about other people's feelings, you know, and kind of a carefree nature, and that could have left other people feeling kind of uncertain about your affections. And anytime you're uncertain, it makes your partner uncertain. So in this lifetime, you know, you're learning the value of being consistent with your love and affections. And it takes time, so, you know, naturally we kind of expect, you know, most of their romantic happiness comes later in life, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
The positive thing is, since three of diamonds have, you know, a lot of romantic drives and desire for relationship, it's going to sustain itself well into the last years of your life, which is kind of cool because this particular card system goes all the way like up to 100. So,
yeehaw.
Oh, geez. Yeehaw. Oh, come on. Look at the light back. Well, let's see. I'm looking for your ass here this particular year. Okay, that's 614, yeah, and see, and it's Gemini too. I mean, you know, that I look at a lot of different things because, you know, the Western astrology with, you know, with Gemini, that's the twins, and it's like, you know, cause like I said, I've got a Gemini son. I swear to God, there's four people that live in that person. You know, you just never know which face is there, and it's like, he's
here today.
He's gonna be 30 this year. I'm like going, you know, and he's finally trying to score a wife. Okay, so I'm like, right.
Oh, golly.
Oh, thing I forgot. Shoot, and this is why I do this first because I forgot your planetary ruling card, which is the Ace of Diamond, or excuse me, Ace of Spades, which is considered the card that represents, you know, this deck, the Magi card. It adds a lot of passion and ambition to your personality. It can result in you becoming something of a workaholic, okay? It can cause you to see, to find yourself in work and the things you create. You generate a lot of power and you have a strong will. And it can cause your life to be a series of chapters. You're writing your book. And each chapter you're transforming into a new person. Inner transformation is really a part of your life pattern. And might lead you to the study of metaphysics, you know, where you're going to find answers to the, you know, questions about life. You have a special inner power that can only be accessed by turning your attention within. Relationships, you know, again, is that major challenge until you face the truth about your own inner needs versus your external goals and dreams. So it's like, you know, the inner life, the outer life, you know, some of this work a long time to try to get that balance. It's like, yeah, I say to myself, you know, good luck. Okay,
yeah.
So 90 seconds, though. Hey, what, people hang on in the queue, and I will get to you. We've got the area code 651-860 and BORQUISTK. So, anyway, if you guys will hang in there, it's like I will absolutely get to you. Okay. I'm just going to look at this really quick. Okay. Seeing what you got going for this year as Three of Diamonds. And yeah. Okay. So he's going to pick up. The sound will kick off, but the people in queue, you know, and if you guys want to call in, if you want to listen in, it's like if you just call in 347-838-8864, you can listen in on the queue because, you know, after we go off air, you can still, you know, the people on the line can still hear, you know, hear what's going on. So if you guys want to call in, hey, go ahead and call in because, you know, we've got space here. Okay, let's see. And the threes, okay, started with that here. This is going to be one of those, go back in archives and grab these. But for yours, okay, your Mercury time frame, of course, starts at your birthday. The Venus time frame starts August 5th. Your Mars time frame starts September 26th. The Jupiter time frame starts November 17th. The Saturn time frame starts January 9th. Let's see. And the public announcement, let's see. It will be Amy and Peg on tomorrow doing mermaid and angel cards, and then we have a special Saturday show at 1 o'clock. All right. Uranian time frame starts March 2nd. So you're in the Uranian time frame right now. And then your Neptune time frame starts April 23rd. So right now, you're in the midst of, let's see, and, okay, I'm at, okay, 54, there we go. This year, your long range has been a five of diamonds. So it's like really restless energy surrounding finances and values. So that's been kind of a theme, you know, for the whole year. It's like, you know, you just had that on your mind, either you know, new ways to make money and or, you know, learning new things. In the Uranian time frame, which is where we're at right now, and the Neptune, you got the five of hearts. So you got, again, that restless energy, the heart. And just, you know, you might be making new connections, you know, with your other half. Okay, that's what I'm going to say with there. It's just, and it's, you know, you're going to see some shakeups, you know, some shakeups and maybe some friends, family, you know. There's going to be some shifts, you know, and changes in relationship and how you deal with people. Okay, does that make sense?
I think my brother's going to pass away in the next few months.
Okay, that would definitely be that separation. The Uranus time frame, though, you've also got a Queen of Clubs, which is a self-mastery. So with self-mastery, within clubs, it's learning new things, it's scholarship, it's teaching, it might be writing, it might be communicating, you know, something like that. The things that you learned, it's like I always think of the trifold brochure, and it's like, and, you know, if you had 15 minutes to talk to the whole planet, what would you like to say? So it's like, you know, base something like that, and maybe just, you know, whatever area of expertise you have. It's like, yeah, they keep coming back to you, and it's like, keep decorating, or, you know, it's like, you guys are so funny. You know, but, you know, how to make a quilt, or, you know, maybe how to, you know, how to can things, or, you know, whatever you feel like, you know, you have to offer. It's like, offer that in the best way that you can. It's like, you know, kind of like, offer your advice out there, yes. Maybe just offer, you know, offer a class, you know, write a booklet, something like that. So anyway, that would also kind of, you know, go along with that, you know, trying to think of new ways to...
What time frame was that shake-up? What month, what around that is?
It's starting right now. It's in Uranus and Neptune both, okay?
Okay.
So and also there. So if it doesn't happen by the end of this year, by the end of your birthday, there's another one. There's a delayed time frame because, you know, when we come in, there's always like if you look at your hand, there's five digits. They always typically say there are five, you know, quote checkout points that each person has. So and I'm not going to be one of those people that go, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to predict the day you're death. It's like, no, I don't want to do that because you actually have five different.
Well, I know when I feel he's going to do his transaction. You know,
Passover. Okay.
When
okay, go ahead.
It's more towards the end of spring, beginning of June.
Okay.
That would be
in the 104 days it would be happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, makes sense. The other, if he doesn't cross over at that time frame, the other time and space and place, you have another five of hearts like that, is after your birthday, and it's actually in the Jupiter time frame, which would be, let's see, see, your Jupiter actually doesn't come until November. So if he doesn't end up, you know, choosing an exit date, you know, before your birthday,
right.
It might be till November, like right around, I was going, oh, God, you might decide to hang for Thanksgiving and then pass quietly after Thanksgiving or something like that. So, you know, just be prepared for the other.
He has an emphysema stage 4, and he had a heart attack last year, and he's just holding on by a thread. His new grandbaby, great-grandson, is going to be due at the end of May. That's what I think he's holding on for.
Yeah. Okay, so 5, let's see, great. Okay, yeah, that's going to be
Generation
pictures, and then he's going to, possibly cross over.
He
wants to hang around for the photos, so it's like at least it has energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can see that. That would make a lot of sense.
I'm not worried about it. And he'll find peace.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like, and I don't know where his belief system is, but it's like, you might talk to him just about, it's like my grandfather before he crossed. I mean, it's like he sat there and he would talk to people who the rest of us couldn't see. And my grandma say, I think it's going to be nice in the big house. And she'd say, what are you talking about, the big house? It's like, in my father's, whatever, there are many abodes, and he's gone to prepare a place for us. So it's like, just depending on where he's at,
Yeah.
It's like, there's many mansions, and there's going to be a place for him, so it'll be fine.
it's going to be fine. I think he's going to be at peace because he's never had peace here.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Be interesting to do his birth card too. So yeah, come call back at some point and say, by the way, here's his card, and that's like, because I mean, really and truly, it would there be a better indication of looking at his birth card, as in terms of what his life would be,
what
he might actually do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly.
Well, you bet. I hope that helps, and call back in and see what Amy and Peg have to say for you tomorrow.
Okay.
And then if you got
bye-bye.
Time, we'll even be on Saturday.
Okay, sounds good.
Talk
to you later. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All righty, here we go. Thank you guys for hanging in there. Okay, area code 651. Whoops, let's see. Okay, come on, there we go. Come on, Blog Talk, there we go. Area code 651, you're on with us.
Hi, it's Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
My birth date is 9/1/66.
9/1/66. Ooh, you're the fire horse. Okay. That's Chinese stuff. It's like, some of those I just kind of know. It's like, ooh, special things. Okay. You are, let's see, okay, your Virgo birth date there, and you are a 10 of diamonds with an 8 of spades. 10 of diamonds, I can tell you right off, is called the blessed card. So it's like you got a lot of blessings that actually seem to happen in your life, and, that 8 is the power card. It is, the 8s are the power cards, and it is like... As that planetary ruler, adds a great deal of power to your personality, makes you someone really to be reckoned with on a personal level, could make you a little bit of that workaholic again. You might attract other people who are powerful, and in those relationships, you kind of solve some of your own, power and control issues. You've got a strong desire to work and make money, but just be careful not to steamroller over other people to acquire your goals, because it will bite you if you do that. Your power can be used for healing or to do a lot of good things. You've probably got more energy than the average person, and some people look at you and think you're kind of an extremist at times, but you learn by doing and trying things yourself, and that card really gives you the strength to overcome any obstacles and problems that come your way. So it's like, just a lot of strength, a lot of power. It's really a good planetary ruler there. And then with that, just like, golly, and then, like I said, you got the blessed card because it sits in the very center of the life spread. You're protected on all sides by Jupiter's blessing. It's called the card of material opulence, another, financial. It's like you can, have some good finances, or it can also be, if you don't personally own stuff, you can live in a place and space that is really gorgeous, okay? However, few of the cards actually get that reality because there's a lot of garden work that goes with us, as indicated by that spade. It's like, that kind of stuff comes in with, you're not just doing the garden. You know, you don't get to use the rototiller to prepare the garden. You don't even get a hand spade. They gave you a spoon, okay? So you would really work to do that, all right? However, all the tens are protected financially, and you do always have a certain amount of that good old Irish luck in the little, you know, leprechaun sit with you anyway. To achieve your highest potential, you really need to be involved in a business, preferably your own, because you have to know how to manage and run a business of any size. Some of it, you know, you might have inherited or married into wealth. You know, there's that possibility. It's like, and these, I say possibilities because these are all, this is like, you know, mathematically based, which is why I really like this. You might inherit or marry into wealth. You like to be the center of attention, which is in direct correlation with that card sitting in the very center of the life spread. You've got a lot of blessings, and, you know, there's two sides, again, to this. You might be a really generous person, you know, with other people, but sometimes you can turn it to yourself and direct all the blessings to you. It's a this lawyer go, me. I'm going to go, okay, yeah. So if you got some of that going on, it's like I'm going to say, yeah, okay, look around the other world there, you know, but okay. But others pay attention to your, you've got a queen of clubs as a karma card, which is the card of intuition and service through knowledge. And you devote your talents and resources to helping the world. All the tens, okay, a little bit of danger for them becoming overly fixated on accumulation of things related to their suit. So for the ten of clubs, it manifests as either like, you know, money fixation, you know, that kind of stuff. But the deeper meaning for diamonds is your values. So it's like, you know, again, it's like if you're working on the high side of that, it's going to be your value system. You've got a lot of creativity. You've got a lot of intelligence. You're really pretty successful in whatever you undertake to do. And it's, you know, a lot of times that power is directed toward business, financial gain, you know, because literally, again, there's no size of business or financial enterprise that you can't handle, okay? Now, if you develop that spiritual awareness, your later years are going to be filled with expansion of your mind and soul instead of doubt and indecision, because there's, you know, that again, there's that duality side of the cards of the coin, okay? You might find an artistic avenue of expression in later years, which brings, you know, a lot of rewards. So, you know, it's like, you know, painting, sculpting, something working with your hands. Wow, that was interesting, like braiding bread or something. It's like, you know, working with, anyway.
That I do energy imprints.
Ah, okay.
That's
cool.
Interesting. So you're probably seeing me weave the energy, and then I channel it through, and then that's what goes on the paper. And then I work with the energy off the paper.
Wow, that is cool.
That just
that is very
yeah,
cool.
That just started coming in probably in the last couple of years. I'm just learning the language.
There's your metaphysical coming in these years, right? Okay. In relationships, you got a strong desire for love and relationships, but you've also got some karma from past lives you got to discharge, and that might have come through either like, you know, a difficult, either like a divorce, separation, you know, something or other, some kind of either, it could either be with, you know, marital partner, or it could be through breaks in your family, something like that. But the karma you bring into life is that of having been in the previous life, you were the person who left another person, maybe possibly unfairly or unlovingly. So in this life, you're going to kind of, you know, that it's going to balance the scales by you're going to be on the receiving end of that, okay? So it's just like, yeah, just kind of realize when that happens, it's like, okay, you know, scales are balanced, okay, fine. You know, and it's as often as the same person you were with before, you know, so,
It already happened.
You're
right on.
I figured it probably had. There you are. Okay, right. And you know, you want love, and you're usually the ones that initiate the new relationships. You've got an emotionally restless nature, and you've got to deal with that before, you know, that successful marriage, because it's just that, you know, visualize the sea waves crashing in there, okay, you know, so it's like, yeah. Often you find yourself in a situation where you need to sacrifice your own need for affection for higher reasons or to help other people in need, and really you're learning to love yourself and the child within, okay? Finding that relationship inside yourself brings you more fortune in other relationships, because that it just goes back to, you know, love your God first and love, you know, second, you love your neighbor. The emphasis is as you love yourself, because until we have loved ourselves within, and not in the way narcissists did, you know, looking in the mirror and it's like, oh my goodness, I'm so great. Not narcissistically, but it's like knowing that self-worth is like filling the pitcher up and you overflow and then you're able to fill other people's cups because you truly love yourself, you like yourself, okay? So it's like, yeah, mm-hmm. So it's finding that relationship with you. And again, here's one of these, you know, as a woman, don't let relationships come before your work and career, except it does say there is an exception in a few cases, very few cases, where there's great compatibility. With you, there always seems to be some kind of burden associated with romance and marriage because you got a five of hearts in Saturn. And then that the personality card for any of the diamonds is that we call it the notorious king of or queen of diamonds that, you know, that has a lot of indecision romantically. And again, you know, it's like if you change your mind, you're going to change your partner, right? I mean, or your partner's going to go, am I your poop list this week or what, you know? You got to have that consistency. And you're like, well, no, not specifically. I was just thinking. And it's like, yeah, well, we felt your thoughts. Thank you. That can happen. We've seen it happen. I'm getting this vibe. It's like, oh, yeah, you know. You were feeling the vibe. You're right. Okay, and let's see here. I'm going to give you your dates for your personal year, and you're about halfway through your year here. Okay, yeah, we should be okay. Let's see, Mercury. Okay, of course, your personal year starts, you know, when your birthday is 52 days of Mercury. Venus comes in October 23rd. Your Mars time comes in December 14th. Jupiter starts February 5th. And that's where you're still in just a little bit. You got a few days of Jupiter left this year before you hit Saturn. Saturn starts on March 29th. And then you've got the Uranian time frame, May 20th, and the Neptune, 7-Eleven. Anyway, Neptune's, I don't remember that one. Come back into archives and just, you know, grab those off because that is consistently, that is your personal year, you know, and it's like, and those planets will be, it's, you know, because like I say, it's more like a mathematical value, you know, assigned. So it's like, but those are the influences for, you know, you like every year. It's like it'll be the same transition.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so once you have, you know, what your personal year is, it's like it is consistent, and it's like, you know, you can always, and then the only thing that changes is the cards change from year to year as to what events are, you know, likely, possibly, probably, you know, can happen. This is the things that can happen. And, oh, golly, okay, help me answer, 66, 76, 86, 96, 6. So you're 47, 8, 9, 10.
I'm
47. 7, 12, 13,
47.
Thank you. There we go.
Yep.
So you went through that change of life. You went through that time frame on 45 because that's 45 is your rebirth year, and likely that's when, you know, you had a lot of shifts. The 44th year, although you did have the 6 of diamonds as your long range that year, the 45th year you had the 10 of spades. So there's, and you did actually have a divorce card that year on your 45th year. So that was, you know, but the rest of it looked like a really great year. Your 47th year, oh, and last year you had the king of spades as your long range. So it's like that was really a year of, you know, really making some decisions and, you know, like building your own boat from scratch and deciding you're going to be the captain of your ship, you know, type of thing. Had a lot of really, mm-hmm. you know, again, a lot of really positive cards. And you had a couple last year. It looks like you maybe had like a 5 of diamonds and a 5 of spades. So you might have had a geographical, you know, relocation, don't know. This year, coming forward, okay, you've got a jack of spades, which is your whole year. Jacks are highly creative, and I'll say that when you're on a spiritual path, you know, you've already learned the lesson of, you know, be absolutely honest. But there's three things that associate with that. It's like, it's the card of the thief, so I'm going to say watch your purse, watch your belongings, watch your back, you know, watch your backpack, whatever it is. You know, don't get ripped off in some way, okay? It's also the card of the spiritual initiate, and it's the card of the actor. So it's like this is probably, you know, a year where you've really looked at, you know, like you say, those spiritual initiations, and it's like I'm looking at, yeah, that's what the king was. It's like you started braiding things. Okay, got it. Okay, so where you're at right now, Jupiter. Okay, you're in your Jupiter time frame, which is the most blessed time. That's, you know, expansion. That's your blessings for the year. You've actually got a 6 of hearts, which is, it's, you know, anytime sixes come in, they're about finding your place and space in the universe and finding, you know, kind of what you're supposed to do. But it's also with relationships. It's finding, you know, karmically blessed relationships, you know, that kind of stuff. You've also got this jack of diamonds, which is a highly, highly creative financial card. So it's like, and Jupiter is a really good time to have that coming in for expansion. So yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, not sure what's going on there, but it's like, you know, it might either be with, you know, relationship, might be something you're finding with, you know, with your work or, you know, something like that. So it's like, you know, I'll just say, you know, this is a good indication you're probably on the right path. You're going to have some speed bumps here with Saturn. Saturn is that
okay.
workaholic card where it's just like everything is going to come in. It's your karmic time of the year where things are going to balance. You've got a nine of diamonds and a six of spades. So it's like six of spades is like the card of karma. So not sure. It's like, you know, you're going to actually have some kind of closure with either finances or values. There's going to be, you know, as one door closes, you know, but another door is going to open. So it's like, and that's what that six of spades. It's like, you know, you're going to have some faded, very faded things happening where it's just like, yeah, it almost it's like, you know, tied to the train tracks, and it's like, you know, Dudley Do-Light's going to, you know, rescue you type of thing. But it's like you're going to have some things that just, you know, that happen, and just knowing that they're going to come is just like have the attitude of, okay, there's the cloud, there's the silver lining. So it's like, I'm good with this. It's okay. The nice thing is the Uranian time frame. You get a break after that, yeah, after all the Saturn stuff. You got the King of Hearts and you got the Two of Clubs. Two of Clubs is the conversation card, or it can also be the argument card. So just be careful you don't argue with people. You know, it's like, you know, converse with them. Try not to debate, because you probably did great on the high school debate team, and you can win things. Yeah, you can win an argument, but sometimes it's like, ah. The King of Hearts is a loving father card, and it can either be mastering yourself with your emotions, or it can be an indication of a person, you know, coming in who's going to be like, you know, the king of your heart type of thing. Okay, so either or. So it might be a relationship coming in, you know, and or might just be mastering your own emotions with things. And that might come in with that conversation. And then you've got that conversation card repeated for Neptune, is that Two of Clubs. So it's like, and clubs are also the scholars of the deck. So it's like, you know, it might be union of, you know, or partnership with somebody, learning something new, you know, something like that. It's like you might be partnering up with somebody. Just for the, you know, for the rest of your year, the challenge you set for yourself with that Pluto card was the Nine of Hearts, somehow or other significant ending of some sort in relationship. And what's ironic is that the result card is the Five of Hearts. So it's like, it's like, you know, the ending of the relationship, and the answer is the relationship ends or something like that. So I'm like going, okay, that's really kind of different. But it was somehow your challenge was, you know, with, you know, and maybe it was just like letting go, because that's that universal love card. Your challenge was the universal love card about letting people go. And that Five just being that restless emotional energy about, you know, letting them go, opening the hand and saying, okay, you know, if you want to take off, that's fine, whatever. But yeah, that's really an interesting pair. The environment card, a little more on the up and up there, is that Eight of Diamonds. So that's kind of your blessings for the year, because these are like, you know, year-long influences. So you've got some really positive things with finances and with your values. The displacement card is the Three of Hearts. So a lot of creativity, and you might find yourself, you might actually find yourself dating, like, you know, a couple, three people, something like that. So new stuff coming in. But, you know, you had, one, two, three. You had three nines this year. So there was really some things, you know, really bringing some closure to some things and really, you know, doors shutting. And at the same time, others, you know, as one door closes, another one opens. So it's like, you know, tying up the bow on the package. Okay, golly, you're being funny with me today. And yeah, I know. I get these little, like, you know, verbal, you know, kip, 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 you know. It's like, yeah, they put pictures in the mind. You just go, okay, guys, that was really a funny. Thank you very much. And anyway, but the sixes are about really, you know, finding your place and purpose. It's about finding what your purpose is this year. So you got that, like I say, you got Six of Hearts and you got the Six of Spades, both, you know, kind of back to back there and different, you know, for those that 104 days. So really, it's, you know, you're going to have some things closing, but you're also going to be finding it's a purpose faded year. So it's like, you know, you're really finding your purpose and how you're going to deal with things. You know, it's like 48th year, it's like you've got a whole, you know, you're going to have a new attitude on that one. You're going to have an ace of clubs coming in after your birthday. So it's like, you know, for your next whole year. So call back with any other questions, or, you know, see what the next year is going for you. Because, you're about halfway through your year. So you've got a little bit of things to go. But, you know, call us back and let us know how things are going.
Well, thank you. That was, right on. I mean, I feel I did move last year when you said there's movement or whatever. So
right.
And
yeah,
the finance thing is,
yep.
that's my challenge. I mean, for the year, it's like just feeling that safety of that I am supported and to trust that.
Right.
So that's my big one of my big nines.
But
I think letting that go.
And just remember, it's like the thing of let's see, for if you need to help yourself along, it's like, you know, when you're at the end of your rope, tie the end of the rope around a tire, sit in the tire and swing, and have a tire swing moment. Don't stress about, because that's the worst thing you can do. It's like, if you can find some way to change that energy, to shift it and go, okay, I'm at the end of the rope, it's time to get in the tire swing and swing and see what comes up. Don't shoot yourself in the foot by dwelling on negativity, okay? And that's sometimes a lot of things we have to, you know, we have to find a way to change that vibe and go, okay, I'm feeling this way. It's like, I'm going to put out some music. You know, I mean, Bob Proctor in The Secret, you know, it's like, put out some music, change the beat, you know, da-da-da. It's like, you know, put some inspiring, uplifting, blah, blah. You know, but do something creative, you know, to help things get along.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Learning to
awesome.
Not resist so much.
Right. You know, I hope you call us back and tell us a little more about the energy rating, because I would like to hear about that. It's like, you know, Bonnie's kind of always looking for you know, new people, new talent, you know, that kind of stuff. So you know, keep our number and, you know, call us back. And if you want to email me, it's slc.on.btr at Gmail. So it's like, you know, give me just a little, you know, hi, you know, it's on the show, whatever. It's like, and this is what I do. And it's like, we'll talk a little bit and see if we can, you know, make a kind of fix for you on air, because that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I would love to. Can you shoot me that email again?
Yes, it's SLC, it's short for Spiritual Learning Channel, slc.on.btr. So it's like Spiritual Learning Channel on BTR, you know, at gmail.com.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Perfect. I will do that.
Email and, excellent. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
You bet. You too.
No.
All righty. Two more callers. And thank you guys for hanging in here. Okay, we got 860 and... Or, yeah, the BOR one. Okay, on Skype. Okay, so 860. Here we go. And what is your day and time?
Hello, my name is Lisa, and thank you for taking my call. And it's January
26, 1959,
Aquarius.
Oh, cool. Same year I was born, and I'm also an Aquarius in that year. You're also
here
as a dog.
Yeah.
And you sound so young, I'm going, wow.
So do you.
Never would have thinking. That's that year of the dog. Is that a Aquarius sign? Okay. All right. Let's see. And that is, okay, January 26th. You are, all right. And, yes, you are youthful. Okay, let's see. Along with that seven of clubs. Okay, so you got, and do you have any specific question? You know, anything that you wanted to address, or you just kind of want to, you know, want a general, or?
Just go with it.
Just go with it. Just go with the flow. I love it. All right. Yes, indeed. Okay. Okay. And I'm going to start with your seven of clubs, because that's always, I think, of those, you know, have a little faith, love will come to you. In this case, you know, knowledge will come to you, because that's what Aquarius is all about. Yeah. Let's see. As a planetary ruler, gives you a really spiritual or philosophical nature to your thinking and disposition, which also Aquarius does. You may be a skeptic or a critic, but inwardly, you hold on to own. You know what? That's exactly what our previous caller had. Oh, my goodness. Okay, this is what she had. Two of her planetary rules. I'm sitting there going, whoa, okay. You probably had a lot of realizations about life. You experience, you know, that mental awakening from time to time. You love to spend money. You need to be careful with your management of it. Yeah, Aquarius, you know. You secretly desire to be noticed or recognized by other people. You might gravitate toward a job that, you know, gives you that recognition or attention. And you may find you fluctuate between being very carefree and joyous to being worried and down about things. I can guess what those unusual mental gifts would be. So it's like, absolutely. Okay. And that is very much with Aquarius. Okay. Now I'm ignoring
that. You're a little bit muzzled. Mumbly, like you're underwater a little bit all of a sudden.
Okay, is that better?
Much better.
Is that better? A little
yes.
Bit? Okay. I've got somebody try to beep me in who doesn't know better. So. Bear with that there. Okay. Ace of Diamonds card. Okay, this is the desire for love and money. The inherent passion with this card, expressed in a lot of ways. Say, I have a son who's that Gemini Gemini Ace of Diamonds person. It seems to be really difficult for you to have both money or career, you know, or love at the same time. And possibly because it tends to be your nature to like to focus all of yourself, you know, you put like the horse with blinders, focus all yourself in one particular direction to the exclusion of other things. In any case, that theme is prominent with all Ace of Diamonds people, mercenary, or flip side, let's do the greater one, you can be the greatest of givers. And it's like literally, you know, you give people the shirt off your back. Okay, you're the Jupiter-Neptune card in the life spread. Jupiter tends to expand the Neptunian ideals and charitability to great extremes at times because sometimes you give till it hurts, okay? Sometimes you give so much it's like, you know, you'll help somebody else out and then you find you can't pay your own electric bill, you know, things like that, okay? You kind of overgive
exactly.
already.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, you really, and it can also, just be careful people don't use you because, I see that a lot, too. It's like, yeah, ouch. It's like, you know, make sure that you're taking care of your, make sure your electricity doesn't get turned off, okay? That's what I'm saying. You're really kind-hearted on one level, and you go out of your way to help people less fortunate than yourself. You're really kind to animals. You hate to see other, you know, people or beings suffer. You got a strong Neptune influence, and it can make you aspire to high ideals. You can make great contributions to worthy causes. You do have a little bit of this, what we call the savior complex, you know, either, you know, saving your friends, saving your family, saving your business associates, you know, marriage partners, you know, whatever it is. But the Neptune can be an illusion, and that can get you, you know, can lead you on a path of deception and misplaced ideals. So just, you know, there's the cautionary for that one. It just depends on the individual's ability to discriminate, and they have this really amazing, okay, think of the bell curve, you know, that we learned about in college. It's like Paul Newman is an Ace of Diamonds, and, you know, he did a lot of really positive things. Now we have the flip side. Adolf Hitler was also an Ace of Diamonds, so you see the range there.
Oh,
like, really good. Oh, my goodness, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and everything in between, you know, like I said, just think of the bell curve, and it's like, you know, Paul Newman's on one end, and, you know, Hitler's on the other, and it's like, and there is that whole massive range for Ace of Diamonds people, okay? And, you know, Hitler, he had a way to justify. He thought he was doing, you know, a great thing for the world. He found, you know, a way to feel good about slaughtering, millions of innocent people, okay? So it's just that's the deception and the illusion. It's like, don't go there. And they do. Those represent opposite extremes of that Neptunian idealism. We find a great diversity in just, you know, how that dreamy, optimistic nature is expressed, you know, but it's always there, okay? You're really creative, and especially as Aquarius, capable of working two jobs at once. You meet new people every day. A lot of your good fortune comes from, you know, meeting people. Ambitious, you know, you've got some artistic ability. Most Aquarius do, you know, you work, usually involves travel, which, you know, if you kind of like to travel, it, you know, shows you those new vistas. Your life can be a series of phone calls and communications of all sorts and a flurry of activity. Regardless of what you do, you really believe you're here, you know, to help the world, to make an important contribution in the process, and you're absolutely right, okay? You've got some definite, you know, psychic tendencies, abilities, you know, if you don't like the word psychic, you know, intuition, hunches, you know, whatever it is, you're attracted to the metaphysical side of life. Money or power does not take top priority in your life and your values. You can have a life of great satisfaction and accomplishment. So just make sure, you know, it's kind of like put God first, you know, put the spiritual things first, okay, and then everything falls into line. As mentioned earlier, relationships. Okay, main challenge for you guys is love. It's like whether you have to give up the career to have the love you want, because it just seems like, you know, trying to balance that is really hard for you guys. Sometimes you have a distance relationship, you know, where you see a partner every so often, and it, you know, gives you time to work, and that's, you know, primary importance for you. It's like, you know, or in other cases, you might have a partner that you spend a lot of time traveling with. Somewhere along, you know, once in your life, you tend to experience a lesson about the importance of having a partner with you as opposed to them being in a separate, you know, state or separated by miles and miles. You know, there's a lesson there. There's really a strong Neptune Pisces element in the Ace of Diamonds life, which spills over into personal relationships. You know, you tend to see the highest and best and good in your partner, and you kind of be, you know, you're a natural caretaker of them, and sometimes the partner does not live up to that end of the bargain, and you get really disappointed or, you know, upset. So really part of this is you need to learn how to speak up for your own needs. You learn how need to learn how to see other people for who they really are, because with communication, it's the lifeblood of any relationship. Everything is possible, but it's like you need to speak up for yourself, okay? All right, let's see. And that's it, desirable of money. Okay, let's see where you're at here really quick with your days and years and times and frames. And let's see, January 26th. Of course, so you just started your year, which is fantastic. It's like, okay, you've been through the Mercury time frame, and actually, wow, today, March 19th, you actually are starting your Venus time. So you just finished your Mercury time frame. You're starting your Venus time frame. The rest of your year is going to fall out. Okay, you've got Mars begins May 10th. You've got Jupiter, your blessed time of the year, begins July 1st. You've got the Saturn time frame, your challenging time is going to be in the falls for you, is August 22nd. The Uranian time frame is October 13th, and then the Neptune time frame is December 4th. And then, of course, that leads back to your birthday, which is back in the Mercury again. So let's see, in particular here, what you got going for this year, where your focus is going to be as an ace. Let me see, and Cardio, yeah, that's right, 55. Speed limit, yeah. Okay, this year is a fact-finding year. It's like the it's a year that you're really going to find out, you know, you're going to make some discoveries about, you know, what you want to be, what you want to do, you know, that kind of, like, what do I want to be when I grow up? You've got the Six of Diamonds as your long range. So it's like, you know, a little bit of karmic stuff going on there, a little bit of, you know, with money, with values. So it's like, it's really going to be, when you're looking at the spiritual things, it's going to be like awakening your values and finding out where you're really at. It also can be some places and times and spaces with your finances of, you know, really kind of finding that niche, finding that groove and going, okay, you know, it's like I want to get with the karma stuff. It's going to be balancing the scales, too. It's going to be, you know, kind of balancing out of financial obligations. You've just been through Mercury, and that was the Two of Diamonds and the Club. Some restless energy there, but it was partnered with, twos are about partnership. So it's like, you know, you wanted to partner with somebody, either with, you know, values, finding out about that, or possibly in a financial venture. Venus time frame, got an interesting pair here. You've got the Nine of Hearts, which is can be a relationship somewhere, whether closing, or it's like, you know, completing a relationship, whether it's with, you know, whether it's with a spouse, whether it's with, you know, aunt or uncle, or, you know, niece, nephew, whoever, it's like, you know, mom or dad, whatever. Somehow or other, there's going to be a finishing and a completion of a relationship. And these can be like for whole, I'll say, watercolor wash for the year. You've got a Queen of Diamonds also in Venus, which is going to be about mastery. And it's going to be self-mastery of your values and a little bit of self-mastery in finances. Yeah, warning there. Don't overspend on luxury items dealing with, you know, like women in the home. Don't go out and redeck your bathroom, okay? It's like there might be that tendency to go, I'm going to go power shop today for a new wardrobe and, you know, outfit my bathroom. It's like, yeah, cold off on that a little bit. Let's see, your Mars time frame. You've got a Three of Clubs, and you've also got you got a Six of Spades. So there's another karma card. That's Mars is dealing with men. Just have a little cautionary there. The Three is going to be, you know, give you a lot of creative energy, a lot of creative power. And it's also, there's two things with the Threes. They can be worry and stress, or they can be highly creative. So it's like, with it being clubs, it's like with communication, it's with learning. You know, you might find yourself like, you know, enrolling in like, I don't know, a weekend seminar or something, you know, where you're going to learn some things new. The Six, there's going to be some karma, is like the card of, you know, fate and karma. You're going to find just the karmic scales balancing. Okay, there's something going to be balanced probably with the male, possibly legal things, you know, something like that. You know, not sure what the situation is exactly, but there's going to be a balancing in that masculine time. Jupiter, you got a couple really, your blessed time of year, You got this Jack of Hearts, which is highly creative, and you've also got the Four of Spades, which is that work card. So it's like, you know, anything that you do with work is going to be blessed. You know, you're going to have those really highly creative ideas. The Jack of Hearts is also, it's sometimes called the Christ card, or it's like the card of sacrifice. But with the being in Jupiter, it's like it's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a sacrifice you're going to make that's going to be a blessing in your life, okay? The Saturn time frame, you've got a Four of Clubs and an Eight of Clubs. Eight of Clubs is very psychic, so you're really going to be dialed into using your own intuition. Four is really stability, and those are really strong cards. So even though Saturn tends to be the karmic time every year and it can be a really difficult time, you're going to come out smelling like a rose because, you know, those two cards are just really, really strong. You know, the power to overcome anything that's going on. The Uranian time frame, you've got a Queen of Clubs and an Ace of Clubs. Wow, a lot of clubs this year. Good for flush. Again, it's going to be unusual things. It's going to be, the Uranian time is unexpected things, but you're going to be acting like, you know, Queen of Clubs there, nurturing people in some way, shape, or form, whether it's with communication, whether it's, you know, being like the mother hen. But you've also got some new ideas with communication, new ideas with taking classes, learning, something like that. And the Neptune time frame, you've also got that Ace of Clubs repeated. So it's like it's really, it's been a lot of that today. It's like, you know, really, the last 104 days before your birth date is really going to be desire for new knowledge, you know, coming in and, you know, really looking at things. The Pluto card for this year is a Three of Hearts. So that's your challenge. It's, you know, you might find yourself, I don't know if you're married or not, or, you know, you might find yourself either, if you're not married, you might find yourself dating, like, you know, 2-3 different guys. If you are...
Married, okay,
that's going to be just that creative energy applied to your home. It's like, you know, applied to, like taking people and you're going to find maybe the coffee clutch, maybe, you know, it's like you there's a group that you play cards with or go to the library with or, you know, do something with. So it's like some positive heart energy. You're really going to have some creative things with relationships, okay? The result card with that, the King of Clubs, that's that strongest suit of mastering things. So it's like really mastering the communication and mastering scholarship. So it's like, you know, maybe, and like I said, maybe you're doing something, you know, learning something new this year. So whatever it is you're going to undertake to learn, it's like you're going to really, you know, master it. And it won't be the master of disaster. I've seen that t-shirt. But it's like, no, you're going to master it in a really positive way. The environment card, you've got a Four of Spades, which is, again, that you know, you're going to work hard, you know, you work hard for your money, you know, whatever. But it's also with health. Don't become a workaholic to the point, or people around you, to the point where you endanger your health, okay? It's like there is, you know, even God rested on the seventh day, okay? Just remember that one. It's good to work. It's good to have stability. It's good to have, you know, those things. But, you know, take a break. Take a day off, you know? And actually medical science has shown that if we take a day off, it's like, you know, if we have a day of resting, of fasting, you know, that just, you know, where we really just rest our body. And what some of us have taken to doing is if you take that 24-hour time period and just drink water, it creates like a flush in your body. It rests all the organs that normally process, and it really serves to balance your body. So it's like, you know, just that on a mundane level. The displacement card, man, you're going to have some transformation going on this year. You've got the Ace of Spades, which is it can be the death card, but, you know, there's always that caveat. It can be a death to yourself. I mean, it's like, you know, like the Phoenix Rising. There's something that is majorly going to transform for this year for you. So something, you're going to have a major transformation of something occur in your life that is really going to, after whatever this change is, it's like you're really going to be reborn. You're really going to be renewed. It might not be so great going through the fires of transition, but, you know, the other side is it's going to end up really good. You know, so kind of a little forward look. It's like we're a little short on time, but you know, call back in, you know, another day, and we can, you know, come back through and get your cards and say, okay, you know, I'd like to see what this time is about or that time is about. And we can go into, you know, into it a little more depth, because I just kind of skimmed over it for you this year. But there's kind of your outlook for the year. It's like Hope that helps. Hope it makes some sense.
Wait, before you leave me with this death card. It's just a transformation. I'm not going to die this year. I'm not going to have somebody die.
No. Transformation card does not mean you're dying this year. No, it just means it's the transformation card is, major transformation. Something will in your life that will really make you look at life, in a different way. It's like it will, think of the phoenix, okay? Like, the story of the phoenix bird where it's like it was consumed in the fire, its own fire. It became a pile of ash, and then it rises again, okay? So that transformation of your life is there's going to be something big happen this year. Not sure, don't know what, it's like,
What time of year is that again? I'm trying to look at my notes. I want to make sure I have that down.
Okay, and we got archives. We got archives, so it's like, you can come back in, you can download this episode,
you can
look at it again. Try to tell people that. It's like, no, you don't have to sit there with your pen and, frantically write things. That is one of your year-long cards. So that is going to be a transformation that is going to go for you, like, all year. It's like there's going to be things working up to, your transformation for the year. You'll end this year in a totally different place and space than you began your year. So it's like, this is a year of really, you're going to end up, in kind of a different space and place. I mean, in terms of your internal life, your external life is still good. You're probably going to go along, but at the same time, you're going to have some internal learnings, some internal things, and it's going to make you look at situations in a different way than you ever thought before. Okay. Does that make more sense?
Thank you. Sorry, I couldn't hang up on that note.
erase. Come on, take the blackboard. Erase that. It's like, no. Transformation is not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Okay. This is a death card. On, goodbye. Wait a minute.
No. Like I said, Phoenix Rising is like, no, you're not gonna die. It's okay. You're not did you ever see that little Disney movie? The Atlantis. Okay, it was called Atlantis. It was the cartoon, and it's like Madge or whoever it was. Who was that? She had the cigarette hanging out, and she was always on the headphones. She go, "We're all gonna die. We're all gonna die." It's like, and they did.
Yes.
Like, it's okay. You're not gonna die. It's okay.
Okay. Thank you. Eventually, it's fine. Just not right now. Too busy.
No, not right now. Your life is going to transform in a positive way. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. I'll sleep tonight now.
This is good.
Thank you.
You're an Aquarius. You're going to have some amazing transformations this year as an Aquarius person. So.
Okay. And one of them is casting ashes in a box. Okay. Thank you so much.
Breathe. Come on. You got to keep breathing.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You bet. And like I said, come back into archives and listen to this. And like I said, you can download the episode or just listen to it, or some people, when they're listening to it, it's like, you got a record function on your computer. It's like you can just actually plug in your own microphone and just record your personal part of it, and then you have it on your computer.
Learn how to
show,
do
but...
that. Telling me.
Oh, come on. You're an Aquarius. See, this is what people tell me all the time. You're an Aquarius. You're supposed to know all this, high-techy stuff, and going, no.
I'm still learning.
I am the mechanical moron.
Make something out of dust, but don't ask me to do anything electrical. Forget it. Nothing with buttons.
Right. Right. Oh, no. Oh, rats. KTBQ was like, okay, I'm going to tell him call in tomorrow. Oh, shoot. Call in to... Tomorrow. Sorry. Oh, my goodness. We just lost our last caller who's been holding.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I don't know what happened. Yeah, Skype has been acting up. I know. Skype has been acting up. I'm just typing that in there real quick. Oh, golly. I'm so sorry. Shoot. Okay. We'll take you first. Okay. We'll take you first tomorrow. Okay, and that's going to be it's going to be from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. time. Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry for that. Rats. Okay. Rats. I hate it when that happens. No, and we've had a lot of that. We've had a lot of the stuff with either, I don't know if it's solar flares. People have been having trouble with their Skype. They've been, you know, just
have heard
computer things go on.
Even the news is talking about solar flares, so.
Really?
Okay. Not just
see,
news stations are saying there are solar flares.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and seeing it hits our atmosphere, and it dings with us, like, all over the place it does. It messes with our phones. It messes with the computers. It messes with all kinds of, you know, whatever. And actually, there's a really cool space. You might enjoy this if you got a computer. Is www.spaceweather.com. It's spaceweather.com. And it's like, and it lets us kind of look and, you know, kind of gauge. It's like, okay, when are we likely to have really bad things happen with our computers and our phones? I'm so sorry for this. You know who they were. So, all righty. Well, I hope that happens. No, you're not going to die. You're an Aquarius person. You've got a long life ahead of you. Stop that.
Okay. Thank you.
Like, yeah, Asa, let's see. Actually, we've got to look here just a moment here because it's got some, it actually has some things for, you know, like, I mean, this card system is made, well, it's got for you, you know, like your whole life, literally. It's like, you know, laid out alphabetically, numerically. Yeah, critical year is age 52, so you had some things happen there. Purpose finding and fate finding years. It's like, that's this year. It's like the age 55, 56, and 57, all 3 years. And that's usually when you have, like, you know, sixes and nines in your reading. So it's like this year, 55th year, 56 and 57, you know, you're going to find your purpose. And it's like, you know, some fated things happening. Years of blessed endings. Okay, you've got 59 is your blessed ending. That's your next one coming up there. Difficult endings. Okay, you had a difficult ending like +2 when you were 52, and you won't have another year like that until you're 62. So you got a break in there. That's a years of caution. Now you've got like I said, be careful driving. Be careful you don't get ripped off somehow this year because of that. 55 and 56 are both like that. So just, you know, just be cautious. Wow, gives you a year of caution is 100. Yeah, don't think that you're going to check out too soon. You've got stuff to do here. Year's a personal challenge. Okay, not this year. 52 was a year of personal challenge, and somehow or other 56 is going to be also. Ascent to pinnacle years. That was, you know, whatever happened to you at age 36, you know, that was an ascension year, and so was year 81. The actual pinnacle years comes 3 years later. At age 39 was a pinnacle year. 84 is going to be a pinnacle year. Your most blessed years, age 41, oh dear, somebody's really trying to get a hold of me, is age 41 and also age 86. Now, years of wish fulfillment, you've got age 57 and 58 coming up as years of wish fulfillment. So whatever seeds you're sowing, you know, this year and next year is going to, you know, it's like you're going to have your harvest time, like in those couple years. Let's see. Years of recognition, fame, and business success. Also, your 57th year. Okay, you had some good ones there with 51, but you're also going to have it with 57, 69, 77. So it gives you up to age 92 on that one. Years with good money cards. Actually, last year it gave you some good money cards. And, okay, the caveat is how you use that and how you manifested that. Okay, the next year you have with really good money cards is age 60. So it's like, you know, so again, this is going to be what I'm seeing is, you know, as a pattern. Whatever you're sowing, whatever you're doing, like, you know, age 55, 56, 57, you know, you're going to start experiencing the harvest and you're going to have some good things happen at age 60. You're actually in your Saturn time frame of year, which is ages 52 to 64, and you've got the Nine of Hearts. So, you know, again, this is going to be times where some relationships, you know, for you will be closing doors, okay? But, you know, again, as one door closes, another one opens. Just kind of in general, every card in the life path of an Ace of Diamonds falls in the Saturn line. And the position of your birth card is either Jupiter or Neptune card in the grand solar spread. It gives you the optimism, you know, to overcome negative influences that might surround you, both in childhood or later as adults. There's challenging years, you know, you probably had some challenging years in childhood, but you've got the knack of reinterpreting those, you know, and it's like, you know, reprogramming those in light of higher, you know, goals and higher good. Yeah, strong work and career drive. You got a good bit of luck and fortune in areas that elevates you to great achievement. The let's see, your age is 14 to 20, you know, when you're in the school, school years, that kind of stuff, we're particularly good in those areas. But whatever happens then from ages 14 to 20 really kind of gives you a foretaste that you know how and can make money, which is a chief job in your life, but that, you know, your best period actually began at age 45, that extends till age 48, so you had some, you know, really positive things happen there. You might, you know, have risen to heights in your chosen field, you know, achieved financial success. You reach the pinnacle year during that time as well, and it makes you one of the few cards that gets double influence of the crown line, both yearly and whatever. At a glance, at age 41, you know, you had a good combination there. It was the most blessed year. Combined with that King of Spades is a long year. No other cards that gets this sort of preferred treatment, okay? But, again, the measure of success in the new cycles just depends largely on how clear you are about your goals and directions. The Ace of Diamonds is a very fortunate to have 4 years in life that the King of Diamonds is your long-range card. Okay, now here we go. The ages were 18, 41, 45, and 89. So it's like, yeah. years of particular caution. There are relatively few occurred at ages, okay, 31, 35, 51, 56, which is coming up. That was out of order, 52. I'm thinking they meant 62 and 76. So it's like, yeah, so not, you know, you've got, you, overall, you know, you've got a really pretty blessed life. It's like, but it just depends on whether you, Kenny Rogers, the gambler, you know, you got to know how to hold them, you know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. You know, people can sit there with a royal flush and fold and lose versus somebody who can sit there with a pair of twos and win the hand, okay? So it depends on how you play your cards, all righty? So because you have a lot of freedom and whether you want to, you know, literally throw in your royal flush or whether you want to win with the twos. So it's like, you know, all things are like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Cool.
Thank you.
Oh, golly, this has been fun. Enjoyed talking to a fellow Aquarian spirit here.
Thank you. You're delightful.
Oh, it's enjoyable. We like what we do here. It's fun.
I can tell. God, you're amazing. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Okay.
Very generous.
Likewise. Oh, no problem. Oh, and to our person, you know, it's like, apologize on Skype, can't do a lot with that, but, you know, hang in there and, you know, call us back tomorrow, because like I said, we have a special day tomorrow with Amy Kavanaugh is doing her mermaid cards, and Peg Jones, who is a brand new person for us, she's never been on with us before, so we're going to see how that goes. She is an angel card reader, so they're both a little mellow. Amy accuses me of talking like the auctioneer and like going, yeah, so Amy talks slower, Peg talks slower. It's like, yes. For those of you who want to make notes as you go, it's going to be easier to listen to them. So we're going to have a more mellow Thursday tomorrow, but call back in.
Okay.
Oh, and let me know how that, you know, call back in and let us know how the year goes. It's like, I do. I always like to compare these. I mean, we had a really cool night the other night. It's like I was on, don't know how familiar you are with Blog Talk, but Curious Times, Chris had me as a reader. And this guy, he was mostly, I mean, he was in his Neptune time frame. So it's like, I just kind of went back and gave him a view of his year, and he goes, you know, we got to December, and he's like, is this for the coming year or the previous year? I said, this is the stuff that's already happened. And he was just like, wow, okay, I just want to tell you, yes, everything you say, this is what happened last year. I said, well, call back after your birthday, and I'll tell you what's going to happen next year. He's like, okay.
Oh, my.
It's kind of cool because to see the validation going, you know, it's like, yeah, this is everything. Man, okay, who is Jasmine? Okay, hang on just a second. This is my daughter. Just a moment. Still on air. I will call you back in just a few. Love you. Bye. She's probably calling to tell me she's going to be late. Anyway, this is the one that has two of the grandbabies, and she's pregnant with the third one, so that's why we're out here.
Congratulations.
Anyway.
Beautiful.
It is. I am very blessed.
I have the baby right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Anyway. All righty. Well, I'm gonna cut you loose here and, you know, call back in tomorrow and, you know, whatever, listen in with. Oh, I'll tell people, you know, click on follow. It's like if you go up to the top of the page, you know, click on follow us, whatever. But Ron Cole is on on Wednesdays. And if you didn't hear the first part of the show, listen. And he is just, he's an amazing, you know, astrologer. It's like, I mean, I've never heard astrology explained like this. The guy has, you know, like the equivalent of a PhD in astrology. And he's been 43 years, you know, doing what he does. And he, you know, the biggest thing he'll say is like, those, you know, astrological columns in the paper is the worst thing that ever happened to astrology. He gives insights, and you just sit there and go, wow. You know, you can catch him at, his email is livingastro, LIVINGASTRO at email, and he's also, or AOL.com, sorry, that's his email. He's also on Facebook. Most of the folks with us are on Facebook. It's Ronald Cole, and he's in Florida. Bonnie Mozinter Albers, who is, you know, Bonnie on Air, that's our hostess with Moses. She's on Facebook, and then I've got a group on Facebook that is Spiritual Learning Connection. So anyway, connect with us and keep in touch and have fun. And have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.
Betcha. Thanks for calling in today.
Thank you.